Shining Care presents a free monthly lunch and learn to prepare the community for aging life. Expert speakers present helpful topics for safety and wellness. Topics include care plan options and elder abuse prevention. This month's highlighted topic will be nursing home discharges. What to know before you go, presented by Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Be informed and enjoy lunch provided by Hilltop Estates, December 11th from noon to 1:30 at Redwood Park Community Room. For more information or to RSVP, visit shiningcare.org.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expressions show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit. My family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Well, we are definitely recovering from Thanksgiving. In fact, I do not want to see turkey for at least the next month. I am turkeyed out. No more of the carbs for a while. Now it's time to enjoy great cigars, great libations, get back to the normal dining festivities of steak and other grilled products. And we have got a fantastic show lined up for you today, including a fantastic cigar that we will enjoy for litation, the Rocky Patel No. 6. As Rocky would say, it's smooth, it's balanced. Nobody works harder to make you a better number six than I do, and he's right. It's a great cigar. We've got a special wine selection, bourbon barrel age that I found. Here's the best part. It will not break the bank. We've got to talk the enemies of pleasure and, of course, espouse the alpha male lifestyle. Long Ash greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. It is your global five-star general and alpha male in chief. Today we have moved the Ford Theater of Operations Command Center Alpha to the Davidoff of Geneva store and lounge. Why? Well, because I want Tommy DiAddio, who is the senior executive vice president of the Corona Cigar Stores and Davidoff of Geneva Lounge here in the Cigar City, to sample the wine selection. And we're going to talk about some other spirits, bourbon spirits, and other barrel selections that he has on tap. So we are going to do that. But today is a very important historical reference. It is the 78th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, a surprise preemptive military strike by the Imperial Japanese Navy Air Service upon the United States, which was at the time a neutral country in World War II. The Japanese attacked the naval base at Pearl Harbor in Honolulu, Hawaii, Sunday morning, December 7, 1941. The attack led to the United States' formal entry into WW2 the next day. Here is what President Franklin Delano Roosevelt had to say in a joint address to Congress the day after the attack at Pearl Harbor.
Yesterday, December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion. The American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
The Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor commenced at 7:48 a.m. Hawaiian time. The base was attacked by 353 Imperial Japanese aircraft, including fighters, level-and-dive bombers, and torpedo bombers in two waves launched from six aircraft carriers. All eight U.S. naval battleships were damaged. Four were sunk. All but the USS Arizona were later raised. Six were returned to service and went on to fight in the war. The Japanese also sank or damaged three cruisers, three destroyers, an anti-aircraft training ship, and one mine layer. 188 U.S. aircraft were destroyed. 2,403 Americans were killed. 1,178 others were wounded. And the important base installations were absolutely, were not attacked, but the Japanese losses were light. 29 aircraft, 5 midget submarines lost, 64 servicemen killed. And one Japanese sailor, Kazuo Sakamaki, was captured. Japan announced a declaration of war on the United States later that day. And the following day, Congress declared war on Japan. And on December 11th, Germany and Italy each declared war on the U.S., and the United States was fully in World War II. Now, 78 years ago, that occurred. That was a major attack on the United States. That attack by the Japanese awoke a sleeping giant. The United States, after that point, got into full war mode. Plants, factories were converted. Our men, boys, enlisted in the Army to fight in the Pacific Theater and the European Theater. Women went into the workforce. Rosie the Riveter types went in. Assembly plants and other factories were converted to the war effort. And I will never forget, there is a great movie that you should watch called Tora, 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 about the attack at Pearl Harbor. And there is a great line where one of the Japanese officers says to the Japanese admiral, "We have a successful hit." And the Japanese admiral looked and said, "I fear we have awoken a sleeping giant." And that is exactly what took place. Now, unfortunately, World War II history is not taught in schools anymore. The attack on Pearl Harbor is not taught because we can't offend the Japanese, people from Japan. We can't offend Germans talking about World War II. It's history. It took place. And a failure of school children and of all Americans to remember the past, we will be condemned to relive it if we do not teach it and remember it. We remember it properly here on the Cigar Dave Show. And back in World War II, back in 1941 and in the early to mid-40s when the U.S. was in full-scale World War II mode fighting the Germans, fighting the other Allied forces of Japan, or the enemy Imperial forces of Japan and Italy and Spain, numerous songs were created to bolster the war effort, improve morale here on the mainland in the United States. And one of the songs, we remember Pearl Harbor.
History in every century records an act that lives forevermore. We'll recall as into line we fall thing that happened on Hawaii shore. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember Pearl Harbor and go on to
Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we go to meet the foe. Let's remember Pearl Harbor as we did the Alamo. We will always remember how they died for liberty. Let's remember
And now we appropriately memorialize the 2,403 Americans that were killed on the attack at Pearl Harbor by the Imperial Japanese forces. And it angers me to no end that American high school students and college students are so uninformed about American history, including World War II. I have stated many times over the years there should be 1 year of mandatory American history focused only on World War II history at the high school level. Maybe if they're lucky, they get a few days. Because as we all know today, now American history is a taboo subject, is an evil subject, because America was founded as a colonialist power, according to these absolute wackadoodles that unfortunately are spreading in school systems like cockroaches. We're seeing it all over campuses, not only on the high school level, but on the college level. And it is not only insulting to the memories of all those who passed away, gave their lives for American freedom in World War II, but to everyone who fought to maintain our freedom in World War II, it is a shame, it is unacceptable, and it is, to me, disgusting that it is not being taught. It should be taught 1 year mandatory at the high school level. Go and talk to a high schooler today and ask, tell me, December 7, 1941, what does the date mean to you? They'll look at you and say, I don't know. June 6, 1944, invasion at Normandy. What do you know about that? Nothing. Ask them who took place. Ask this question. This is guaranteed you will get this answer. Ask a high school student today what countries took place in the Spanish-American War, and I guarantee you they will get one of the countries wrong. Not Spain and America. They'll say, I don't know, the United States and Canada. Mark my words. Try it. And if that doesn't open your eyes, I don't know what will. But as far as I'm concerned, there should be absolute 1 year of mandatory World War II history. And I can tell you one thing that will never be forgotten. On this show and by me and all of you that listen, because I know all of you are patriotic, you know about World War II history. You know about the significance of World War II and our great veterans, the greatest generation. I had the pleasure of conducting Operation Special Alpha Mission 111 about 3 years ago in Austin, Texas, at the home of Richard Overton, who at the time was the nation's oldest World War II veteran. Loves cigars. I spent an entire half day with Richard and his cousin, and we sat, smoked cigars. I brought him two boxes of wonderful premium hand-rolled cigars. He loved them. He gave me a tour of his home. Could not have been more gracious. Well, I'm pleased to say that the Austin City Council on Thursday voted to approve the home of the late Richard Overton as a historic landmark. They are going to make it into a museum. Richard Overton was the nation's oldest World War II veteran at the time of his death at the age of 112, 1 year ago. Overton's cousin, Valma Overton Jr., who I had the pleasure of spending time with, spent the last several months working to get Richard's home approved through the city's Historic Landmark Commission. It was done, and Thursday's vote finalized the commission's recommendation to approve the landmark, and is one step closer to becoming a museum, which was one of Richard Overton's final wishes. And it is incredible, because when you – I didn't know where he lived. I mean, I didn't know a phone number. I went from Austin Bergstrom Airport, got off, and I just said, you know what, I'm going to type in Richard Overton Way. And sure enough, I figured I didn't know a house number, and you couldn't miss it because there were giant banners and posters ever. Happy birthday, Richard. Thank you for your service, Richard. And I said, I have found the spot. I have found Richard Overton. And I wasn't the only person that found him. When I was sitting on the porch smoking cigars with Richard, there must have been 100 people over the course of 4 hours or so that rode by, that were jogging by on their bikes, young people, middle age, every age, waving to him, thanking him. And it was really apparent the love people had for Richard Overton. A GoFundMe account, a campaign was set up to help Richard's in-home medical care expenses so he could remain in his house. They thought they were going to be able to raise maybe $75,000, $100,000 if they were lucky. They raised more than $450,000. And his cousin said that Richard was thankful for all the donations that people gave the last 2 years of his life so he could remain in his home. And while he was alive, Richard treated his home as a museum. He had artifacts, pictures with the presidents, from just paintings, a sculpture that was made of him from friends and strangers. Just an incredible guy that loved to hold court on his porch. He had his usually 6 to 10 cigars a day, some have a Tampa Nugget, Swisher Sweets, but I gave him some good premium cigars. And he told me that his father said, put a tablespoon or a teaspoon of whiskey in your coffee every morning. Keeps your muscles nice and limber. He was right. The guy lived to 112. Something must, and he was up until, I think, 109 he was driving. So clearly something was right. And here's something I didn't realize. Every day he always wore a World War II veteran baseball cap. What I did not know, and I found out, when they talked about it at the city council to approve making Richard Overton's home into a historic landmark, that Richard would always keep 2 spare cigars underneath his cap, above his head. So if he ran out, he always had a couple extra spares to go. And his cousin told a story that we'd be sitting out of the porch, he'd run out of cigars, and Volvo would say, well, I'll go get you some more cigars, Richard. He said, no need. He'd pull off his hat, pull one out, fire it up. He always, now there's a man, a military man, that always was prepared. And people visit him from all around the world. So it is going to be a wonderful, I think it's great that the city council has voted to make it a historic landmark. And now Volvo, which is Richard's cousin, is working with Houston Tillotson University to take care of the property, the artifacts inside, so that it is curated as a museum. And one thing that has not been touched since Richard passed away, when he went into the hospital, Richard's final cigar that he smoked it about a third of the way, is still in the ashtray, has not been touched. And his cousin said, I will not touch it. It will remain there. So Richard's legacy will be there for many, many years to come. And I think that we talk about learning about World War II history. We talk about remembering World War II events, Pearl Harbor and the invasion of Normandy. Here's a man, Richard Overton, that spent his service in World War II in the Pacific Theater of Operations. He talked about, when I chatted with him, he talked about his recollections about World War II, how he found out it was over, what he did when he came back. But a great American, 112 years he lived, and as always, a snappy salute to the great Richard Overton. May he rest in peace. He was a gentleman, a wonderful guy. It truly was an honor and a privilege to meet America's oldest living veteran at the time. He was 111, made it to 112, and we have got, we'll put a link up at CigarDave.com of the interview. We did audio and video interviews that we have run, Operation SAM 111, Special Alpha Mission 111. What a great honor it was indeed. All right, everybody gets offended these days. The latest example is Peloton. It's that exercise bike where you subscribe, there's a video screen, and you participate in these workouts with virtual instructors via video. These machines are expensive. They're like $2,500, $3,000. And then there's a subscription price per month. They went public. The stock's in the tank. I don't know how many of these things they can sell. But in any event, big ad underway right now on television to sell Pelotons for the holidays. And this ad features a husband giving his wife a Peloton. Take a listen.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Now.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time riding.
All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am. 6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go great to Boston. 50 rides.
She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me. Thank you.
This holiday, give the gift of Peloton.
Now, I have no problem with the ad. The husband buys the wife a Peloton. Maybe the wife wanted it. Whoa, Nelly! Not so fast, my friends, because in 2019, everyone gets offended about some nonsensical thing. And it's a perfect example. Now, women took to social media, even men slamming Peloton. How on earth could you run an ad featuring a husband surprising his wife? It's insinuating that his wife almost needs to lose weight or get in shape. Maybe she's got a big ass, a big caboose. Of course, it went on and on. Everybody offended, saying it's sexist. Now, what if, on the other hand, the wife gave that to the husband? People would say, what a wonderful, loving wife. She cares about her husband's well-being. She cares about her husband's health. How lovely. That is perfect. But if a man does it for a woman, forget about it. Did anybody ever think, I know it's a fictional commercial, maybe the fictional wife told the fictional husband, you know, honey, I'd really want one of those $2,500 Pelotons. If you could give me one of those, that would be great. Maybe that's what she wanted. But again, today everybody has to get offended. Instead of the company saying, we're also going to do a version of the commercial where a woman buys the husband a Peloton, they had to apologize and take it off. Why? Because every American executive and company today, where everybody easily gets offended, they're a bunch of giant pussycats.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app. For Apple, Android, and Kindle devices, you can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
In 1964, José O. Padrón began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padrón cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padrón controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padrón family, it's called making great cigars. The Padrón lines include the Padrón 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padrón Traditional line. All Padrón cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padrón. For your Padrón retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padrón is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and...
This is Carl Lindebaugh, owner of KCNR Radio.
We just want to say happy holidays from everyone at the KCNR family. With the giving season upon us, we wanted to thank you for living local. The Reddit community means a lot to us.
So this season, as you're driving through town, doing your holiday shopping, support the advertisers that support this station. Local shops are often overlooked, but that's where you'll find the most unique and touching gifts this Christmas.
Live local, listen local, love local. And from everyone here at KCNR,
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
A holiday favorite, It's a Wonderful Life, will be shown at the historic Cascade Theater on Monday, December 23rd. Pack up the family, grab some drinks and popcorn, and enjoy this classic on the big screen. An angel sent from heaven to help a frustrated businessman by showing him what life would be like if he never existed. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn wiper blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $11.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment, and you don't drop off your car or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Home of the friendly oil change.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Lightation Maneuvers.
The holiday season is upon us. Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's. We're in the home stretch of 2019. Hard to believe. Joining us right now is our wonderful host, the host with the most. That would be Tommy DiAdio. Tommy D, the Senior Executive Vice President of Spirits Procurement for the three Corona Cigar stores in Orlando and the Davidoff Geneva store and lounge here in the cigar city of Tampa. Tommy, you look like you're winded. You look like you're a little busy today. What's going on?
Oh, it's Christmas time, a lot of events. My father tonight, Maker's Mark Engraving. Tomorrow we got Horse Soldier and an American.
Lots of great spirits. I was here yesterday, and I know that you had Sazerac coming in. You're doing some barrels, I think, with them.
Yep.
Four Roses,
yeah.
I think you had about a dozen glasses yesterday.
I had
Snifters ready to go.
I did a bourbon repeal day yesterday. That's what it was, bourbon repeal day.
Somebody has to take one for the team, and we will do that with a great cigar and libation today. I pulled out a brand new cigar. It is the Cigar Dave Officers Club, November 2019 selection, the Rocky Patel number 6. Let me tell you the story on this cigar. About a year ago, I'm down at Rocky Patel headquarters down in Naples, Florida. Cousin Nimish Desai comes in with a giant box that came in from their factory. And he starts bringing out all these cigars and bags, and it's got number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, like number all the way up to like number 16, all these different blends. So we're all around the table. It's Rocky, it's Nish Patel, Rocky's brother, Nimish, Dave Bullock, their VP of sales, a few other people. And, of course, we had the Johnny Walker Black opened up middle of the day, and they start handing out cigars, and we're smoking all these cigars, and we take a few tastes of each one. And after about 16 different cigars, we go back and say, okay, which one did we like? And I said I like number six. Rocky's number six. Nish liked something else. Nimish liked number six. So then we smoked another number six after lunch, and Rocky said, this is it. Then Rocky said, we need to come up with a good name for this cigar. I love this cigar. It's got a nice flavor profile. It's medium-bodied. It's balanced. It's refined. It has nice top notes of sweetness, subtle hints of vanilla and coffee. The number six, this cigar stands out unlike anything we've ever made at Rocky Patel. So then, of course, they're talking about names. Nobody can come up with a name. Fast forward, about a week before the Cigar Retailers Convention, I get a box from Nimish, and of course, there is the new cigars. And I see number six. So I called Nimish. I said, wait a minute, what's going to be the name of this cigar? He said, number six. I said, no, that's the blend. What did you guys decide to name it? He said, number six. We couldn't come up with a name, so we decided we're going to call it the number six. Beautiful Honduran Corojo wrapper, Honduran Hamastron binder. The filler is Honduran Hamastron, Nicaraguan Jalapa. Again, it's got nice medium notes. There's enough robustness to the cigar, a lot of flavor, some espresso notes, some coffee. It's a very nice cigar. Comes in about five different sizes. I've got the Toro, which is 6.5 inches in length by 52. Nice big band at the top. There's a secondary band on the foot of the cigar that you pull off, which is very nice as well. Tommy, you haven't had this cigar, have you?
No, not yet.
So this is a first for you. Didn't Rocky give some of these to you at the Cigar Retailers Convention?
Yeah, but I give all that stuff to my guys.
Oh, there you go. All right, well, now you're having it for the first time. They just shipped a few weeks ago. Again, this was our November 2019 Officers Club selection. The Rocky Patel, number six.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Giant self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine in my hand. By the way, Tommy, I borrowed this from behind the register. I will bring it back just for the record.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
All right, this we call the welder's torch because, again, it feels like a welder's torch. You could probably, if you were going to build and erect a skyscraper, you would use this to basically weld the steel joints and rebar together. Giant flame, that's what I'll use today.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
All right, perfect cut. I'll toast the foot of this cigar. There you go, Tommy. There's a cutter for you. I use my fingers. Use the thumb like they do in the factory. Mm-hmm. I remember Manuel Quesada taught me that.
You don't have to worry about Tanya. She's in England right now, so she's not watching us.
Oh, she's not. She's in the U.K. Is she visiting Boris Johnson?
I don't know who she is.
Or the Queen?
I'm not sure.
Oh, lovely. Now, is she staying with the Prince and Camilla?
Maybe.
Oh, lovely. Very nice. Okay. All right, I'll puff and rotate here. Very nice draw. Nice flavor. Very nice. Perfect. Even amber cut, Tommy. The lightation device is yours. We take a few puffs here. Very nice. Right off the bat. Definitely getting a little espresso, a dark espresso. Almost just a slight peppery note on the back of the palate. And this, as it starts to burn, you'll notice some changes. A very nice cigar, the Rocky Patel number 6, already getting incredible feedback from our Officers Club members. And by the way, if you're not a member of the Officers Club, go ahead and join. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. For December, big announcement, the Gurkha Real. Did you have that, Tommy?
Yeah.
Nice, mild to medium-bodied, creamy cigar from Gurkha. That will be the December 2019 Officers Club selection. In 2020, we got great selections lined up as well.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Well, I was in the supermarket with Cigar Mother a couple of days after Thanksgiving. And as I am going through the wine shelves, looking for some splits of cava or some champagne or sparkling wine for Cigar Mother, I happened to find a little selection of Robert Mondavi Private Selection wines. And they had a little feature set up there on the shelf, aged in bourbon barrels. So immediately it gains my attention. And I see that there's numerous. There's one that is a Cabernet Sauvignon from Monterey County 2017, aged in bourbon barrels. And I noticed that they also have a red blend that is aged in rye barrels. They've got a Chardonnay that is also aged in bourbon barrels, and a Merlot in rum barrels. So I'm looking at this saying, you know what? Let me take a look at the price. I think it was $12.99. So I said, for $12.99, I can't go wrong. I'll give it a try, and I've got my Coravan. So the nice thing about this Coravan system, you put it in, it's got argon gas, injects into the bottle. You don't have to open up and uncork the bottle. So if you just want to have a glass today and then another glass in a year from now, the wine doesn't turn. So I'm going to pour. I've got the Robert Mondavi Private Selection, aged in bourbon barrels. And again, now, Tommy, were you familiar? Have you heard of this, yeah, the new Mondavi?
Yeah, they even do another one in Pat Van Winkle barrels. It's Spanish Rioja.
Well, this is Monterey County. And again, for the, let me give it another tap on the Coravan here. Again, for the price, I looked, and it's available everywhere. I mean, you go online to their website, and it's incredible where it is available. Now, before I go ahead and take a sip here, I'm going to swirl it. I want to volatilize the esters, release some of the oxygen. But let's talk about the bourbon barrel-aged Cabernet Sauvignon. Let me give you specifically what this is. It's won all sorts of awards. And on this particular, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is a combination. I'm just looking here because I believe that it's a combination. Wait, I want to make sure I've got it right here. There is Cabernet. I believe there's a little bit of Merlot. It's a combination of three,
yeah,
but overwhelming it is Cabernet.
It's called Cabernet because they use 78% at minimum.
Correct. Cab. And there's several other wines, so I'm going to swirl that around. Let me take a sniff on the nose.
A Thousand Stories is another line that does bourbon barrel stuff.
Yeah, very nice sweetness. Nice bouquet. I will say cheers, Tommy. Here we go. We'll give it a try here.
It tastes
very
bourbon
subtle.
At the end.
Yeah. Very interesting. I'm definitely getting some graham cracker on here, a little blackberry, almost a little bit of very subtle, almost like an apple pie type of taste. Let me take one more sip here. And then at the end, you get a very subtle note of the bourbon, almost a bourbon wood barrel. But very, very pleasant. Very nice. Tommy, what do you think? For $12.99.
It's very nice.
You can't really go wrong. Now, I want to try the Chardonnay. I also picked up a bottle of the Chardonnay. That is being refrigerated, so maybe next week or the week after we'll do the Chardonnay.
Yeah, I'm just laughing at your text the other day when you sent me the Van Winkle hot sauce and all that, and now I just brought up that the Van Winkles are making wine in barrels, too.
Right. I see this thing saying there is now a new hot sauce that is aged in old Pappy Van Winkle barrels.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how many more Pappy Van Winkle line extensions? Yeah. Pretty soon we're going to have Pappy Van Winkle deodorant.
They got tequila.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do tequila in a Pappy barrel. They do the wine in the Spanish wine. They got the cigars. Now they got the bourbon fermented Pappy Van Winkle from Drew Estate coming back out.
I'll tell you, this wine for $12.
Yeah.
I've seen it lower, $10.99, $10-$14. Not bad. This is the kind of wine, keep a couple of bottles in, you know, at home. If you like a cab, if you like, I tell you, I want to try the rum barrel aged. That's the next one that I've got to try. So I'm going to give that one a try. I'm trying to remember what we said on that one. I think we said that was the Merlot, if I'm not mistaken. But the Robert Mondavi Private Selection, I mean, for the price, you absolutely cannot go wrong. Rum Barrel Age Merlot. And I'm not a Merlot person, but I will definitely.
I like Merlot.
I'll tell you what I'd like. The red blend I'd like to try, what I'd like to see is that they did a Pinot Noir with a bourbon barrel. I think that would be actually pretty good. But the other one is the Rye Barrel Aged Red Blend. So with the rye, that's probably going to have
spice.
A little bit more spice to it.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So not bad. We've got our Rocky Patel number 6. Goes perfectly with the Robert Mondavi Private Selection bourbon barrel-aged Cabernet Sauvignon. We will continue front and center from our Ford Theater of Operations, the Ford Command Center Alpha at the Davidoff of Geneva Store and Lounge around the corner.
Get the latest cigars, hand-picked by the General, each month, delivered straight to your door. When you join the Cigar Dave Officers Club for just $22.95 a month, you'll receive three premium cigars in a customized Ziploc Cigar Dave pouch. To join, go to CigarDave.com.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds December 19th at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Elements Lounge. Join me along with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Mike Costa on drums, and Lou White on sax, flute, and clarinet. Enjoy an evening with your favorite Christmas music along with jazz classics. That's 6 to 9 p.m. in Elements Lounge. For reservations, call 243-3377.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Just one more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
The great Francis Albert Sinatra, the chairman of the board, which reminds me that next Thursday would be Frank Sinatra's birthday. And tomorrow,
Sammy Davis Jr. I got Spilkies, baby. I mean that. Tommy, you're great, baby. I mean that.
The great Sammy Davis. And last week, November 30th, was Portuguese Princess Colleen's birthday. So happy birthday to Portuguese Princess Colleen and in absentia, Sammy Davis Jr. and the great Frank Sinatra. Now, not only Frank Sinatra's birthday, but I found a great story that recently was told by Harry Connick Jr. He was appearing on the UK show called This Morning. Maybe Mick the Brit watches that. I don't think Mick the Brit gets up that early to watch This Morning. But Harry Connick Jr. recalled that he did not have a great experience meeting Frank Sinatra. Let me explain. He recalled a completely inappropriate encounter when Sinatra kissed his wife, former model Jill Goodacres. So let me back this up here. According to Connick Jr., the moment occurred after Connick says he blanked out when he was performing for Sinatra. Connick claimed that when he went to apologize to Sinatra for his lackluster performance of Fly Me to the Moon, the Sinatra embraced his then-girlfriend, called her beautiful, and proceeded to kiss her on the lips. He said that was an unpleasant experience because as much as I wanted to sing for Sinatra and everyone else, I just don't get nervous, but I was really nervous for that, and I blanked out. I completely forgot the words. I was with my wife, then at the time my girlfriend. We saw Frank in the elevator, and I said, we should go. I need to explain myself. So he goes up to Sinatra. He says, I'm sorry, Frank. I'm much better than what you saw. He didn't care. He looked at his wife, placed her face in his hands, and said, you're beautiful. Kissed her on the lips, walked out of the elevator, and that was the end of that. Now, I can see Sinatra doing that. Oh, yeah. Can't you see doing it? I mean, walking. I could just see Frank having like a tuxedo. Sweetheart, you're beautiful. Putting his hands, in a, you know, loving on her cheeks, giving a kiss. And that's the end of that. Now, apparently, Harry Connick Jr. thought it was inappropriate. However, his wife said it was funny, enjoyed it. So Harry Connick Jr. had the problem, but the wife didn't have a problem with it. Now, he said, of course, today in the Me Too movement, it would be, you know, totally unacceptable. You know, he said, my affection for him in the context, my wife thought it was hilarious, but it's completely inappropriate. Harry, grow a set of nads, okay? Let me tell you, how many women back in the day, if Frank Sinatra went up to them and said, sweetheart, you're beautiful, and put his hands lovingly on their cheeks and just gave a kiss, you think they'd say, oh, I feel so violated? They'd say, I'm never washing my lips again. Frank's, today they'd say, I need a picture. Take a picture of Frank with his lips on mine, okay, and his hands on me. It is incredible to me how today everybody wants to make everything a sexual harassment, a sexual crime. It's nothing more than a guy who was well-known at the time saying, sweetheart, you look great. I do that all the time to women I do and give them a kiss. I don't kiss them on the mouth. Well, some beg me to. The harem, they always beg me to, but I'm polite. But if I see a woman that I know or even that I don't know, I go, you are absolutely lovely. What? You are stunning. Give her a kiss. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. I makes them feel good. It flatters them. As long as you're doing it sincerely. But today, you've got to be, you know, oh, I can't touch a person. I've got to be within 3 feet. I've seen pictures now where celebrities will not even put their hand around a woman.
Keanu Reeves.
Right. He didn't put his hand around her. He had it behind, yep, like, you know, 8 inches so that it couldn't get into a hashtag Me Too type situation. I cannot tell you the number of women. When we take pictures, Sergeant Steve, you'll attest to this at the Pleasure Fest. We have women. They come up to me and they want to hug me and take a picture. I put my arm around them. I don't put my hand on their ass. I don't put my hand on their side boob. I'm polite. I put it on their shoulder, on their back, whatever. But everybody's making a giant deal out of this today. And this is what we are seeing in this society, where all of a sudden, if you are polite, you give a compliment. You look gorgeous. You look lovely. I love those shoes. That dress, you look hot. Wow, do you look super hot. All of a sudden, you're going to have a certain number of people saying, well, I'm offended. Why do women, let me ask you this question, and I pose this to both of you, Sergeant Steve and Tommy D. Many women love to show their ample décolletage, ample rackage and stackage. It is flying out. Do you think they don't want attention? You think they do that because they don't want men to notice? No, they do want men to notice. They know they look good. They know they look hot. And as a man, as a gentleman, as an alpha, I'm happy to oblige by saying, you look lovely. You look smoking. You look like one woman I recently saw. I said, you know, you don't look like $1 million in that dress. You look priceless. That's how hot you look. And she's like, really? Oh, my God, you're so nice. Thank you so much. Everybody likes a compliment if it's sincere. But I don't know any woman that dresses. If they really wanted to not show anything, they'd wear one of those Laura Ashley dresses with the lace all the way up to the top of their neck and not reveal anything. Sergeant Steve, am I correct?
They're called boobs, Ed.
They're called boobs, Ed. That is correct. Tommy D, am I correct?
You are correct.
Right. Exactly. So when a woman comes in, being polite. Now, Tommy D, let me ask you, because you are not only the senior executive vice president of spirits procurement for the three Corona cigar stores in Orlando and the Davidoff store and lounge in the Cigar City, also the general manager here. So you know what's going on. What are you seeing? Have you seen any changes in buying habits or any changes in terms of consumers' profile, taste-wise, they're looking for? What are you seeing moving,
you know, it's the majority
going into the Christmas
it's
season?
It's still Ecuador and Connecticut. That mild to medium is still the number one profile where people smoke. We sell a lot of Atabays now, which is that's really taken off. Nelson from Byron's from them. All the old brands all still sell. We don't do very well with Alec Bradley. I don't know what it is.
And I love Alec Bradley.
I love him.
They got a great
person.
Connecticut. They got. Yeah. I love their Connecticut. In fact, our January Officers Club selection is coming from Alec Bradley, and they make fantastic cigars. And I know that I go into other stores, they are just flying like crazy, and their Connecticut is great. Look, I think their Max, which is a reasonably priced cigar, it's a value-priced cigar, off the shelves.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally, the Prensado I love. They really don't make anything that I don't really enjoy. Yeah. But it's interesting that you mentioned Connecticut, because we always hear so many people saying full-body cigars get the attention. Super full, super, super heavy cigars. But what really moves are the mild to medium-bodied cigars. Our Officers Club selection for December is the Gurkha Real. Yep. That's going to be a creamy, mild to medium-bodied cigar with a Connecticut Ecuadorian wrapper. So you hit it right on the head.
I think everybody that goes to that strong profile, eventually they come back to balance. And that's what most of the people smoke is balance. They want something that's not going to – you're not going to clear the back of your throat. It's harsh. It's not going to hit the salty part of your mouth where your mouth is watery. They just want – creaminess on the
look at the Padron 1926. I think that's the fullest of all the Padrones.
Yeah.
But it's so balanced. It's incredibly smooth. So even a mild cigar connoisseur or medium-bodied smokes one. I'll give one to them, and they're like, man, this is great.
That's because they're aging at 6 to 8 years is why.
Well,
that's
they don't rush. They don't rush anything at Padron because to them it's all about quality. You never hear anybody say, "Boy, I had a Padron cigar and it was bad.
No.
It wasn't aged properly. It wasn't rolled properly." Nobody says that because the Padrones are absolute hawks when it comes to. And every cigar comes up to Miami and they personally expect Jose O. Padron, who passed away 2 years ago this week. I remember him sitting at his desk in Little Havana, looking at every single cigar to approve it before it was cellophane. Tommy D will continue around the corner. Much more coming your way, Alpha Male Pleasure Maneuvers. Next hour, the enemies of pleasure, the Thought Police, are going after a classic Christmas winter song from Dean Martin. And we have got Dina Martin, the daughter of Dean Martin. She was on Fox News a few weeks ago. We're going to hear what she has to say about Baby, It's Cold Outside, the new version coming up around the corner.
A Cascade favorite holiday tradition, Thomasine's Celtic Christmas, returns to the Cascade Theater on Saturday, December 21st, filled with Celtic singing, music, dancing, and stories. It's a night of joy, laughter, and the giving spirit of the season that is great for the whole family. Get tickets today at CascadeTheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changetheculture.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Led to the incident at the Naval Air Station Pensacola.
We are not prepared at this hour to confirm what may have motivated the shooter to commit this horrific act today. There are many reports circulating, but the FBI deals only in facts, and this is still very much an active and ongoing investigation.
FBI Special Agent in Charge Rachel Rojas. Meanwhile, the base official says a second Saudi student was recording outside the building at the Naval Air Station while the shooting was happening inside. 10 Saudi students being held at the base, several others still unaccounted for. Iran and the U.S. have conducted a prisoner exchange that saw a detained Princeton scholar released for an Iranian scientist held by America.
In a trade conducted in Zurich, Switzerland, Iranian officials handed over Chinese-American graduate student Xiyu Wang, detained in Tehran since 2016, for scientist Masoud Soleimani, who had faced federal trial in Georgia. While the exchange represents a rare win for both countries, it comes as Iran still faces crushing American sanctions and the aftermath of national protests. President Donald Trump has acknowledged Wang was freed in a statement from the White House, saying the Princeton scholar would be returning to the United States. I'm Charles Ledesma.
Iraqi officials have raised the death toll to 25 protesters and policemen killed, over 130 wounded, after a night of bloody attacks by unknown gunmen targeting anti-government demonstrators in the Iraqi capital. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Halliburton laying off more than 800 employees in El Reno, Oklahoma, and the company says it expects to close its office in the Oklahoma City suburb.
Oklahoma Office of Workforce Development spokesman David Crow says the agency was notified of the layoffs and apparent closure of the office. Crow provided a letter from Houston-based Halliburton that says the mass layoff of 808 employees is expected to be permanent. It also noted, quote, at this time it is expected that the facility will not remain open.
Jeremy House reporting. Crow says the letter was the first the agency had heard of the pending layoffs and office closure. Hiring in the U.S. jumped last month to its highest level since January as U.S. employers shrugged off trade conflicts and a global slowdown, adding some 266,000 jobs. The unemployment rate dipped to 3.5% from 3.6% in October, matching a half-century low. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A high-drama telecom deal heading to court.
T-Mobile, in its attempt to buy Sprint for $26.5 billion, has already notched approvals from key federal regulators. Now it must convince a federal judge that the 14 state attorneys general suing to stop the deal are wrong. The trial starts Monday in U.S. District Court in New York and is expected to last several weeks. If T-Mobile prevails, the number of major U.S. wireless companies would shrink to 3 from 4. Patrick Frost reporting.
Amazon having delivery problems this holiday season. The company says the delays are due to bad weather in some parts of the country, plus the large amount of orders it received during Black Friday and Cyber Monday when they offered steep discounts. The Seattle-based company is apologizing, says they're working directly with customers who are experiencing an issue with their delivery. But it's embarrassing for the Seattle-based company whose reputation is delivering orders on time. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
To the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions, the Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Holiday season is upon us. Thanksgiving over. We're in December. The holidays are here. Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's. Big month. A lot of activity. We've got our big champagne and sparkling wine tasting maneuver in 3 weeks. Get ready for that. I don't know. Sergeant Steve, you think we can break a record? I think the most we've done, what, is maybe like 16? I don't want to do the beer because we tried, I think, 45. That's going to be a little bit too much. But we'll have a great selection for you as we are underway. And, you know, when you think about the holiday season, you think about great holiday songs. And one of those songs by the great Dean Martin. Hey, Dean Martin! Reminds me of that movie, Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. What was the name of the dean at this college that he went to? Dean Martin, of course! Last week, I happened to be channel surfing, and I happened to see Back to School on one of the networks. Watched it again. Cracking up as much as I did when it first came out. I don't know. It was like 25, 28 years ago. Rodney Dangerfield, the great Dean Martin. But speaking of Dean Martin, there is a classic winter song, holiday song. Yes, it's around the holidays, but you could play it all winter long, any time of year. Because when you listen to the great Dean Martin, with his dulcet tones and just his smoothness and his slickness, and just, you can just picture Dean with a little cocktail in his hand, the tuxedo. I think Dean Martin wore a tuxedo 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. It's like Sinatra. Every time you'd see him, they had tuxedos. I wouldn't mind going back to that for certain times when you go into a casino in Vegas. You go back to that elegance. We've kind of lost that. Not wearing a tuxedo every day, but those guys just look great. Even when they undid their bow tie, you know, after they were performing, they still look cool in their tuxedo. Well, there's a great song known all around the world that Dean Martin sang. Initially, it was written way, way back. It was part of a movie, I believe. Frank Lesser, 1944, wrote that, but Dean recorded it and really made it famous. Baby, it's cold outside.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Got to go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop me off. I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice.
The mother will start to
beautiful, what's your
the father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
roar. So really, I'd better
say
beautiful, please don't
well,
marry.
Maybe just a half a drink.
Put
more.
Some records on while I pour. Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in
no
the
cabs to be had out there.
Wish
your eyes are like starlight now. I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I
wild.
Say, no, no,
mind
no.
If I move in close?
What's
the sense of hurting my pride?
Really,
baby, don't hold out. Baby, it's cold outside.
I see nothing sexual in any way, shape, or form in that song. It's basically about Dean or a man saying, it's cold outside. Stay with me. I'll keep you warm. Don't leave. I want you to stay. Nothing wrong with that. He's not saying, baby, stay so I can bang the hell out of you. He's not saying that. It's a romantic song. I've never heard one woman say, that song offends me. You know what women say? I love that song. Dean Martin, he's just so cool. Well, baby, it's cold outside is under attack by the hashtag MeToo movement. Because if you smile at a woman incorrectly today, hashtag MeToo. If you compliment a woman the wrong way, hashtag MeToo. If you say good morning to a woman and she's not a morning person and is grumpy, hashtag MeToo. I say hashtag screw all that too. It's enough. Well, Dean Martin's daughter was on Fox News with Martha McCallum not too long ago. And there is a new version of Baby It's Cold Outside that was recorded by Kelly Clarkson and John Legend. And, of course, they tried to change the lyrics to make it politically correct, so there's no hashtag MeToo involvement in it. But this is what Dina Martin, and I have had the chance to meet Dina Martin at the Italian festival, Fiesta Italiana, here in the Cigar City. Got to be about, I'd say maybe 8 years ago, 10 years ago, could not have been lovelier. I met her backstage, spent about 15 minutes with her and her husband. Could not be nicer, very pleasant, just great personality. She performed. She was fantastic. And I must say, a lovely, very elegant woman, looks great. Well, here's what she had to say when discussing the lyrics revision by John Legend and Kelly Clarkson.
I think it's just insane. You know, first of all, I love John Legend and Kelly. You know, they're fabulous entertainers.
Yeah, they're
but
great.
But what on earth are they thinking? You know, why change the lyrics to this classic? It was written in 1944 by Frank Lesser. It won the Academy Award in 1949. And it's a, you know, to me, it's always been a sweet, classy, flirtatious song that there's nothing wrong with.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
I
sing it at all my shows.
It's great. And, you know, to me, it always feels like a little play almost. You know, there's this whole story between the two of them and this sort of flirtatious dance, as you say. But then, you know, when we got into the Me Too era and when she says, you know, what's in this drink, you know, which I just think is harmless in this case when you listen to the whole song. But it got so much attention. You know, what do you think? You know, when we start sort of recrafting, have we lost our ability to just say something is cute and flirty at this point?
I think we have. You know, I mean, it's gone a little crazy. I think that John Legend and Kelly, their version has brought it, made it more sexual.
This is absolute nonsense. I mean, it is going way the hell too far. When all of a sudden today that lyrics that in no way, shape, or form are connoted to be sexual in innuendo or nature. It is simply a guy that's saying, it's cold, stay with me, I want you to stay with me. There's nothing that is in any way, shape, or form could be considered to be sexually harassing. We have gone in this country. Here's what happens. I'll give you my analysis here. Think of the United States as a pendulum. The pendulum is in the center. All of a sudden, we go way excessive to one side of the spectrum and then way back to the other. We never go back to the middle. So, for example, in this particular case with Me Too, there are a couple of scumbags, the Harvey Weinsteins, Les Moonves, a couple of other guys that absolutely use their power and abuse their power with women. It's unacceptable. Don't paint the entire male species like that. I'm an alpha. I'm a gentleman. We treat women well. We don't sexually harass women. We don't beat women. In fact, part of being an alpha male is treating women great, is being polite and being chivalrous, opening the door, pulling the chair back when a woman goes to sit down, ordering for a woman, being polite. Those are things that represent and connote what an alpha male is all about. So we have a couple of these scumbags, a group of scumbags, primarily the Hollywood types or some of these other entertainers or other people in power. But to all of a sudden paint a broad brush and say that every single man could be guilty of sexual harassment is nonsense. We go way too far. So we had men that went way too far. So the pendulum went way to one side. And then instead of coming back to the center saying, these guys do not represent mankind or malekind, they are a small subset of men that have serious issues. Look, Harvey Weinstein couldn't get laid in a whorehouse for money. He's so damn ugly. He looks like Michael Moore, who hasn't had a bath, needs to get on a treadmill. Please, there is no way in hell Harvey Weinstein could get a dame by himself. He had to sexually harass women and use his power. Now, Les Moonves wasn't a bad-looking guy. It's not like he looked like Harvey Weinstein Michael Moore. But for whatever reason, he used his power, put women on the casting couch, and he used his power to block women that didn't want to play his game from climbing the ladder. That's unacceptable to me. So instead of saying, we're going to single out those people, the pendulum's going to move back, men can still be polite with women, we can still have songs that are flirtatious. No. All of a sudden now, you've got a small number of women, hostile women, women that also can't get laid in a whorehouse for money, women that can't attract a man because they've got more facial hair than I do, and I don't get 5 o'clock shadow, I get 10:30 a.m. in the morning shadow because I've got a thick beard. They have more facial hair and more chest hair than I do. These are women that basically are so mean and so unhappy and miserable that they have to go and try to destroy and desecrate an entire species, the male species. So instead of saying these are a small subset, everything else, life goes on, to those men that were guilty or are guilty of harassing women and using the casting couch per se, they should be called on the carpet. But to the rest of men, the overwhelming majority, let's say probably 98% of men out there, that in no way, shape, or form mistreat women, do not sexually harass women, that are nothing but polite, courteous, and kind to women, now all of a sudden, everybody gets painted. The entire male species gets painted with a broad brush. It's unacceptable. And we've seen that with other laws. We've seen that with smoking bans. At first, we had this pendulum, and people said, look, we need to eliminate smoking in public buildings. Fine. So the pendulum shifted. And then all of a sudden, they said, well, it's not good enough that we're banning smoking in buildings. Now we want to ban smoking in outdoor patios, in outdoor bars, on golf courses, on city streets, in any public property. And the pendulum goes way, way, way off the chart. And that's what we're seeing. We can never in this country say, you know, there's a few people that are abusing things, fine, we'll take care of that. Nope, we got to go all the way to the extreme. We're seeing that with the opioid epidemic right now. Let me give you an example. Perfect case. Opioids, when used correctly, when used and managed, are fine. When people have major surgery, what do they give people when they come out of surgery? They give them opioids, Vicodin, or oxycodone, or OxyContin. It's controlled. It is a drug that is effective. I had my wisdom teeth taken out. Maybe five years ago. And the doctor said, look, I'm going to give you a dozen oxycodone because you may have pain afterwards. Great. Okay. No problem. And he said, what I'm going to do is I'm also going to inject the area after with additional anesthetic so that, you know, when it wears off, right around maybe 8 hours from now, go ahead and take one. I took out of those 12, and he said, if you need more, let me know. But I'm only going to give you 12. You take them, whatever, three times, twice a day, whatever it was. I used a grand total of one. 8 hours later, he said, go ahead preemptively, take one. I did. I then went to sleep that night. The next morning, I said, you know what? I have a little pain. I'm going to take Advil. That was it. I was done. And the 11 ones, I probably still have somewhere around, and probably some FDA or the Drug Enforcement Administration is going to raid my closet saying, oh, you're medical, you got 11 of these. What are you going to do with these? So here's a perfect example. True story. The names are being changed to protect the innocent. I had an acquaintance who went in for surgery not that long ago. Abdominal surgery. Goes in for abdominal surgery, gallbladder. Is in pain. So, of course, they give pain medication the first go-around. And then 8-9 hours later, the patient is in pain. Goes and calls, asks the nurse for pain medication. And the nurse says, well, there's nothing prescribed here. I'm going to have to call the on-duty resident. Well, the resident or whatever comes back and says, via phone, well, instead of oxycodone, ask the patient if they're allergic to Tylenol. And they said, no, I'm not allergic to Tylenol. I'm not allergic to Advil. I'm not allergic to aspirin. But a Tylenol is not going to, I'm in major pain. I'm not going to take a Tylenol. It's not going to do anything. So this resident, actually, I think maybe she'd been an intern, on the phone with a nurse for 15 minutes. And finally, somebody, a family member, intervened and said, bring the nurse up here. Or bring the intern up here, because we're not going to have this phone conversation. The nurse, or the intern comes in not that long later. Apparently it was too much of a haul for her to get on an elevator and come 2 minutes from wherever she was in the hospital to talk to the patient directly. And by the way, my father, Dr. Z, had he heard this nonsense, he was a general pediatric surgeon for 40-plus years. Never in a million years would he have called a patient and said, if he's in the hospital, saying, okay, can you take this? He would have gone and seen the patient. So the intern comes up and says, well, we really don't want to prescribe something. It's not on the orders. And so one of the family members says, do you not have any authority? Are you a licensed physician or not? Because if you don't have the authority, then let's call somebody that does. And, of course, that intern got very, very, very just a little angered and flustered, and that she was being questioned, didn't like the fact that somebody was being questioned, but it was common sense. And a family member said, look, we need to call the doctor. This person's had major abdominal surgery. Get the order. 10 minutes later, the chief resident calls and ends up coming in saying, yeah, I don't know why it wasn't on the order. It should have been. And so a family member says to the intern, well, I understand there's an opioid epidemic going on, but in a hospital setting, when somebody has major surgery, what's the problem? Well, we really don't like to prescribe them. So what has happened? Perfect example. The pendulum has shifted. Now, opioids are very effective. They're a good drug when used when intended, just like any drug. You can abuse any drug. You can abuse aspirin. You can abuse anything. Alcohol, drugs, food, you name it. Go out and eat 50 pounds of meat in one sitting. Chances are it's not going to be good for you. So instead of saying, look, this is a case where the patient needs it, no problem, we're going to prescribe it. Well, it was prescribed ultimately over an hour later from when the patient initially needed it. And the problem today is that now all of a sudden, because opioids are made to be a four-letter word, they're evil, they're terrible, they're responsible for this terrible epidemic, people abusing them, and many people are. But every day around the world, millions of people that undergo surgery or in that are in pain for whatever reason in hospital settings need that pain medication. There now is a reluctance because we don't want to get the patient addicted. We don't want, let's try anything else because God forbid we give them an oxycodone and they need another one. Everybody now, because this pendulum has shifted, has made opioids to be evil, and they're not. Try going in for any sort of major surgery and saying, just give me two aspirin. It's not going to work. But this is what happens in this country. We have this pendulum that shifts, instead of being reasonable and being moderate and temperate and saying, okay, we may have a problem with opioid addiction, we may have a problem with a small problem with sexual harassment of women in the workplace, but instead now every patient is considered to be a potential opioid addict. Every single man is considered to be a sexual harasser and sexual abuser because we don't in this country have moderation. It goes from one extreme to the other until such time that people get so fed up that say, you know what? This is a load of poppycock. This is a load of bull. Enough of this. And we're almost there. We're almost there. We're there with government regulation. We're there with taxation. We're there with cigars. Perfect example. The government has to get in the way of us enjoying a cigar. We're not vaping. We're not kids that are consuming a vaping product that tastes like cherry or bubble gum that's loaded with other chemicals. We're enjoying cigars, as people have done for 500 years. But now, all of a sudden, everybody's got to get swept up in this vaping-type situation. It's a perfect example of the pendulum going too far. Great, you got a vaping problem. There's kids abusing vaping. That's not cigars. Keep cigars out of it. But we see the exact same things that are happening. It is nonsense. But again, it's going to take ultra-extremism for the pendulum to swing back to the center for people to say, enough. Just let's chill it. Sergeant Steve, let's hit just a few seconds of the revised version of Baby, It's Cold Outside, the politically correct Me Too version of by Kelly Clarkson and John Legend. I'm bored with this song already. It sounds terrible.
I can call you right. I'm so glad that you dropped in. Time spent with you is paradise. I'll call a car and tell them to hurry. Wait, what are you still living home for? Your driver, his name is Murray.
Oy, this is pathetic. I've heard enough. Stop it. The version by Kelly Clarkson and John Legend is atrocious. John Legend was just named, what, the sexiest man on earth? He looks like a pussy cat to me. Really? There's nothing alpha about the guy, and this song is a perfect example. Give me a break. My mother will start to worry. My daddy will be... Please. Baby, It's Cold Outside, the Dean Martin version. That is the only version. The original Frank Lesser 1944 classic. Screw Kelly Clarkson and John Legend's version. It's horrible. It's boring. It's atrocious. It's pathetic. It's weak. It is lame. I hope it doesn't sell one digital download or CD. Period. There's only one Baby, It's Cold Outside by the great Dean Martin. Screw the hashtag MeToo movement.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
Riverfront Playhouse presents A Christmas Carol by Christopher Sharrow, adapted from Charles Dickens and directed by Jennifer Levins, November 23rd through December 21st. With an intimate cast and ethereal presentation, A Christmas Carol is a ghost story of redemption and the lesson that giving isn't just a seasonal affair. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store running or at the door. A Christmas Carol, November 23rd through December 21st at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by Tri-Counties Bank.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Working from home as a freelancer, remote worker, or entrepreneur? Drop-In is a professional co-working shared office space designed to meet the needs of today's mobile worker. Drop-In has multiple workstations, conference rooms, video call booths, and lightning-fast, secure fiber Wi-Fi. Do you need space to work for just an hour or full-time? Hourly, daily, and monthly rates are available, and walk-ins are always welcome. Visit dropin.mobi for more information or drop in and take a tour at 155 Lake Boulevard East next to Starbucks. Isn't it time you found your space?
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
It's the most wonderful time of the show. When the general is gripping a stick for a clipping, and that's when you know. It's the most wonderful time of the show.
Frankie Sumatra and the Cigar Dave Singers.
Happiest segment of all. With cigar-friendly meetings and Long Ashes greetings when lieutenants call. It's the happiest segment of all. There'll be cigars for clipping and cognac for sipping from Tampa to San Diego. It's all over the nation. It's Cigar Litation. It's right here on your radio. It's the most wonderful time of the show. So go through your selection and choose with affection, 'cause everyone knows it's the most wonderful time of the show.
Frankie Sumatra and the Cigar Dave Holiday Singers that come out several times a year, especially around the holiday times. The most wonderful time of the show, most wonderful time of the year. And I'll tell you another most wonderful time is when I am at a great deli and enjoying a hot pastrami, warm pastrami on seeded rye bread with a potato pancake or a potato latke on the side. Nothing like those great kosher Jewish-style delis. Sergeant Steve, when we were in Vegas several years ago for the Cigar Retailers Convention, where did we end up dining several nights?
Carnegie Deli.
Bingo, in the Mirage. Unfortunately, the Carnegie, that's the only remaining Carnegie Deli. The Carnegie Deli in New York, bye-bye.
I would go there every time I went to New York.
That's right, and there's so many great delis. I know, Sergeant Steve, you're from Cincinnati. Izzy's. Gotta love Izzy's.
Oh, absolutely.
What's your favorite at Izzy's, by the way?
The potato pancakes.
Potato pancakes are great. They're known for their Reubens.
Yes, the Reubens classic, are fantastic.
Classic. You cannot go wrong. That's another. Now, my understanding is I think Izzy's has more than one location now.
They do. I'm trying to remember where they opened, but they do have more than one. I know that.
I'm looking right now. Now, the original is the Elm Street downtown.
Yes.
Okay. Now they've got, let's see, in Anderson, Forest Park, Red Bank, Western Hills, Main Street, Kentucky, Florence.
I didn't know they had that many.
I did not either. They've clearly grown, but Izzy's the original. You can't beat. It's right downtown. It is a Cincinnati. It's like the Montgomery Inn. It's an institution. All right. Well, there is a institution deli in Toronto called Yitz's. The owner of Yitz's, Barry Silver. Yitz's a Jewish delicatessen catering shop in the North Toronto area. Over on, let me see, I'm trying to remember, if I'm not mistaken, it's on Eglinton Avenue West. Great, been around for over 50 years, phenomenal, great corned beef, great pastrami, the potato pancakes, the cabbage rolls, their matzo ball soup. They're known for their tongue sandwiches. I'm not a tongue guy, personally. I remember the first time my grandmother used to make tongue and slice it, and she'd say, here, have some tongue. And I remember talking to my father one time, and I'd say, he said, oh, you had some tongue? I said, yeah, and I can't remember. I was talking to him, and I can't remember. I said something along the lines of, you know, I don't know. I wonder why they call it tongue. He said, well, because it is the tongue. I said, wait a minute. That's actually the tongue? He said, yeah, it's the tongue of a cow. Never ate it again after that. Because then I could see the little taste buds on it, and that was it. But, you know, a delicacy. Well, last Sunday, after a 50-year run, Yitz's, just like other delis around the United States and around the world, closed. Closed after almost 50 years. Why? What are they going to build? Guess. Condos. Because the world needs more condos. We don't have enough condos. Everywhere you look in downtown Tampa, condos.
Condos.
Okay? Every city, we're building condos. How many condos do you need? Condos, sooner or later in Miami. Everywhere you look, that's a new condo, that's a new condo. Meanwhile, nobody can sell their existing condos. So, and by the way, the Russian and South America money, that has dried up completely. So good luck with all those in Miami. But Silver bought the deli 20 years ago from the founder, Yitz Pensener. The guy's name was Yitz, just like Izzy. He must have been named Izzy. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of construction, a lot of change, and we are seeing delis across North America closing. And there's a number of reasons. But not only delis. You're seeing a lot of locally owned restaurants, old-style Polish butcher shops, classic East End dim sum joints, mom-and-pop Italian restaurant, Portuguese barbecues are closing. You're seeing Greek restaurants that are closing. And you're seeing all these chains come in. That's another thing we don't need. We don't need more condos and we don't need more chains. But for 50 years, Yitz's was the place in North Toronto. And they had some great specials. They had the Taylor, which was the lox and cream cheese. The Art Collector, which was Montreal smoked meat. You ever had Montreal smoked meat, Sergeant Steve?
I have not.
Our good friend Ian Beckles, he's from Montreal. Had cousins in Montreal. My mother went to college in Montreal. Montreal smoked meat is delicious. You were not able to bring back any sort of meat product back from Canada, but they changed the regulations. So when I was in Montreal a few years ago, I brought back 5 pounds worth of Montreal smoked meat, And it was from Dunn's, and it was fantastic. So they have the author, which is the tongue sandwich. I'll pass on that. The extremely wealthy man, which is potato latkes. Middle-aged lawyer, which is and they also say that basically they have, you know, people that are now coming in because he had a little humidor right next to the cashier or next to the cash register. So he had a humidor, and people would come in and buy cigars. So basically you could have your lox and cream sandwich, your Montreal smoked meat, your tongue sandwich, your potato pancake, your pastrami, and top it off for dessert with a couple of cigars. It was good. But what we're seeing now is all these delis going by the wayside. Give you some classics. Miami Beach, Wolfie's on Collins Avenue. I remember as a kid going there with my grandfather, and I used to go down every time I'd be in Miami for business. I would always stop at Wolfie's. In fact, I remember going to a number of cigar events down in Miami, and all the cigar manufacturers afterward would be going around, you know, midnight to grab a late bite over at Wolfie's. It was a classic. Rascal House in North Miami Beach, gone. Pumpernick's, gone. Carnegie Deli, gone. We're seeing all these delis across the country, these bastions of history, gone. Because certainly diets have changed. People have changed. Now, all of a sudden, the millennials, you know, they want everything delivered to them. They don't even want to go out. Sergeant Steve, let me ask you a question. Do you notice a difference when you go out to restaurants, lower numbers of people out at restaurants, and more increase in the number of Uber Eats deliveries you see or other delivery services?
Absolutely.
Big
look
difference.
At the lines at the restaurants for the Uber Eats drivers or DoorDash drivers.
Big. And yet, certain places that used to have huge lines, no more. And a lot of restaurants, the difference between them making it and not making it is their bar business. When you don't have people dining in, the bar business goes away. You used to go to a great burger joint here, gone, because people just started taking out and they started getting the delivery. So we're seeing a change. Now, the good news is there are still some delis. You go to Katz's in New York, Lower East Side, they're going to be around forever. Knock on granite, because those are institutions. The Mirage, the Carnegie at the Mirage in Vegas, always busy, packed.
Oh, yeah, slammed.
Packed. Can't get in the place. It is incredible. And I feel sometimes that I've got to eat there almost every day and night because you don't get your deli fix. Here in the cigar city of Tampa, there's really not any great delis. It is a shame. And Orlando, there used to be a great deli called Ronnie's. He used to work for Wolfie's, Wolfie Cohen. Gone. All of a sudden, I used to go in there with some friends. We'd fly in. Every Sunday, we'd go in for brunch, for lunch. I'd go in one time. I said, hey, yeah, can you get me the courtesy shuttle to take me over to Ronnie's? He said, you didn't hear, did you? I said, what? No, hear what? Ronnie's closed last week. They're going to demolish it. They're putting up a new shopping center. Ronnie owned the whole shopping center. His family didn't want the business, and after, 40 years, that was it. Ronnie's was an institution in Orlando on East Colonial Boulevard. All these great places are gone, and it is indeed a shame. There's nothing like when you go in, Sergeant Steve, they give you the bucket of pickles, mm-hmm. the coleslaw, the sauerkraut. You get a nice sandwich. What do you order when you go to, when you used to go to Izzy's or you used to go to Carnegie?
If I don't get the Reuben, I just love just a good salami sandwich.
Yeah, salami, there you go.
I'm a huge salami fan.
There you go. And it's the Hebrew National. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the one at Katz's, they have the dried salami. They actually dry them.
Mm-hmm. And stack that sandwich up tall.
Absolutely. Can't go wrong with that. And the potato pancake. The Reuben, to me, good pastrami. Can't go wrong. But not the stuff that comes out of a plastic, you know, like the boar's head that they slice. I'm talking about the pastrami or corned beef that Carnegie or Katz's, they actually cook and make themselves. Sart, you know who else makes great pastrami? He got my grandmother Ida's recipe, Colonel Ange.
Yes, he does. That is fantastic.
We had that at the Buffalo Pleasure Fest a number of years ago. That was off the charts. It took him about four times because I kept eating it. My sister kept eating it and said, nope, needs a little more of this. Because my grandmother never really left the recipe. We just knew rough what was in there, and he nailed it. It is fantastic. But again, to do proper corned beef pastrami, you're talking about like three, four weeks. To let that properly.
Not easy.
No, you got to let it brine and everything. So it is indeed a sad occasion. I'll tell you what else is sad. Or as Ross Perot used to say, it is sad. Larry King, it is just sad. Boys today are not being raised properly. When we come back for the final and concluding segment of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show, we'll talk about a study that was just released about how to raise successful boys. What needs to take place in the schools today to make sure boys succeed? It's not happening. We're going to talk about it around the corner.
Check out the all-new CigarDave.com. Get info on the cigars and libations the General enjoys during the show. Get recipes from the Pooch Pit and drink cocktails, too. You can listen to the show on our 24/7 stream or download the latest podcast to listen to anytime. Get it all at CigarDave.com.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar like I do in the morning, I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
A holiday favorite, It's a Wonderful Life, will be shown at the historic Cascade Theater on Monday, December 23rd. Pack up the family, grab some drinks and popcorn, and enjoy this classic on the big screen. An angel sent from heaven to help a frustrated businessman by showing him what life would be like if he never existed. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Just one more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Slim
bells are ringing. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland.
The great Dean Martin, ever so smooth. Just listen to him, how silky smooth he is.
Yet he stayed in the new bird. He sings a love song.
I can just picture Dean, tuxedo on, pocket square, of course, and a little boozy, a little sauce in the glass in his hand, with the microphone in his right hand, the sauce on the left side, the great Dean Martin. All right, the Officers Club selection for December 2019. I mentioned it earlier, the brand new Gurkha Real just released several weeks ago, shipped to retailers across the country, made its debut at the Cigar Retailers, or the Premium Cigar Association Convention last June, July in Las Vegas. It is a nice, mild, medium-flavored, smooth, creamy cigar. Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper atop Dominican Olor binder, so you're going to get a little sweetness from the Olor binder. Dominican Criollo 98 Lajero and Seco paired with a little bit of Nicaraguan Secos in the filler to bring out that nice, smooth, creamy, very pleasant, easy taste on the palate. Four different sizes, a Robusto 5x52, a Toro 6x54, Churchill 7 inches in length with a 52 ring gauge, or 52-64 7-inch, and the Magnum or the Gordo 6x60. Suggested retail between $8 and $8.95. Great price for a fantastic cigar. If you are not a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club, join right now. You're too late for the Gurkha Real for December, but for January, we've got a very special selection coming from Alec Bradley. So go right now to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. Boys in schools today are being neglected. I have discussed this many times. Boys are now second-class citizens. Girls are getting the attention. And why is that? And we're hearing more and more cases of boys that are being diagnosed with ADHD, attention deficit disorder. We've never seen all these ADHD cases. In 2003, 7.8% of kids were diagnosed with ADHD. In 2007, it rose to 9.5%. In 2011, 11%, a 40% increase in 8 years. Why? Are more kids, do they really have ADHD? No. I'll tell you exactly what's happening. We are not allowing boys to be boys. Example, study released by the researchers at the University of Eastern Finland recently tried to document whether boys actually achieve less in school when they're restricted from running around and being physically active. They studied 153 kids ages 6 to 8. They tracked how much physical activity and sedentary time they had during the day. And sure enough, according to a report by Belinda Luscombe in Time magazine, the less moderate to vigorous physical activity boys had each day, the harder it was for them to develop good reading skills. So what have I always said? Let boys be boys. What do? Boys are like little puppies when they're kids. They like to run around. They like to roughhouse. They like to wrestle, play ball, climb fences. They like to throw a ball around, run around. Sergeant Steve, when you were a boy, did you do that?
Absolutely.
I did that. We all did that.
My boys do it today.
And we had recess. We didn't have one recess. We had, I think, three or four recesses every couple hours for about 20 minutes to go out 15, 20 minutes, run around, burn off that energy. It's like Baron, my 21-month-old German Shepherd puppy. I got to take him for a 3-4 mile walk in the morning or let him run around, throw the ball to get out that energy until he settles down. Nothing unusual about that. But what have we seen a proliferation of the last, oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years. Boys not being allowed to be boys. Recess time being cut. Kids being overprotected. We are not letting boys roughhouse and wrestle because we can't have that happen. We can't allow boys to be boys. We want them to be the sedentary, just basically stoic, children, and girls are different. Girls don't need that type of running around, and they need playtime, but not that kind. So what we're seeing, researchers are saying, that we're forcing kids to sit at school for 6, 7, 8 hours a day with limited recess time. When you're a kid, look, today, if I sit for more than an hour and a half, I lose focus. I've got to distract. I've got to take a break, walk around, do something. So researchers saying mistakes are leading to a three-pronged perfect set of storms for kids, for boys primarily. One, overprotection of kids, trying to keep them safe from all physical dangers, which ultimately increases their likelihood of real health issues. Two, we're inhibiting children's academic growth, especially among boys, because the lack of physical activity makes it harder for boys to concentrate. And third, when boys fail to conform to this low-energy paradigm that now schools and teachers and administrators want boys to fit into, they're being overdiagnosed or even being punished for boys reacting the way they're naturally built to react, that is to run around and expend energy. Boys are rambunctious. Boys are in a constant state of motion, running, jumping, fighting, playing, getting hurt, getting upset, jumping right back into a physical action. But at school, they're required to sit for long periods of time, hours, days. So how does that make them feel? Like they're being punished. Often, when boys disrupt class after sitting 2, 3 hours and need to get some energy unwound, how are they punished? By being forced to skip recess. Thus, they sit longer, the problem gets worse. The more time kids spend sitting, the less time being physically active, the fewer gains they are making in the classroom. Girls now are being put to the front of the line. Teachers spending more time with girls. Whereas boys, they're saying, oh, you've got too much energy, your problems, we're going to put you to the back of the line. So there is a sexist discrimination going on in classrooms, not against girls, but against boys. Researchers are now saying that girl behavior is considered the gold standard in schools, and boys are treated like defective girls instead of being treated like boys and let them go out and run around. So we're now living in a dystopian scaredy-cat world. Limited physical activity leads to real physical and mental harm in kids. What we're seeing is that even schools that have playgrounds, monkey bars, or swing sets, or just any other type of a device or any contraption that a child could get hurt on, can't go on it. Even woods. I remember we'd go out, play in the woods. There's a pond where we used to go at school. Nope, today, can't go near that because you could fall in the pond, the woods, you could get stung by a bee. It's snow time now. They don't even want you making snowballs. Nope, can't have snowball fights. Somebody could get hurt. Restricting boys' movement is a problem. And this ADHD nonsense is being overdiagnosed. How do we solve this problem? It's simple. Listen up, school administrators. Listen up, parents. Let boys be boys. Let them run around. Let them partake in physical activities. They're not girls. Treat them as such. Treat them differently. We'll talk more about that. That's how we can make boys succeed. That's how we can turn boys into fine young adults and into alpha males. The general just solved the problem. Amazing. Cigar Dave, the general, say Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ash be extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. And screw all those teachers and administrators that want to restrict boys and make them into girls. No way. Let boys be boys.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy Hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Importance to Jews, and told the crowd he made good on his campaign promise and decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital and move the U.S. Embassy there from Tel Aviv. The 78th annual commemoration of the Japanese bombardment of Pearl Harbor was held Saturday morning. The bombing claimed more than 2,300 American lives and propelled the U.S. into World War II.
Although it's rightly called a surprise attack, military affairs analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis says the U.S. military had begun years before to prepare.
Even on top of a number of the mountains there, you know, Diamond Head and others, you can see even today, and I've visited those sites, gun emplacements and bunkers and the like, fully anticipating that there would be some sort of attack from the Japanese forces.
The wrecks of only two of the vessels from that day remain in Pearl Harbor, the USS Arizona and the USS Utah, as the others were repaired and put back into service or scrapped. George Manzani reporting.
Work stoppages continue to disrupt weekend travel for a lot of folks across France.
Truckers striking over a fuel tax hike are disrupting traffic on highways from Provence in the southeast to Normandy in the northwest, and most trains remain at a standstill as workers vent their anger at President Emmanuel Macron's policies, in particular a plan to redesign the national retirement system.
Charles de Ledesma reporting. The head of the FAA facing questions next week from a congressional panel about the agency's review of the Boeing 737 MAX, which has been grounded after two crashes killed 346 people. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
The earliest start to the flu season already in play, and it's beginning to claim a lot of lives.
The Centers for Disease Control says the flu season has kicked off early, first in the South region, where Louisiana started getting hammered in October, with people suffering from fever, vomiting, and diarrhea. Now the bug is spreading to the rest of the country, with at least 12 states affected. And the Centers is reporting hundreds of deaths have already occurred among 1.7 million cases of flu. This version doesn't usually hit until March or April. Officials say it's too soon to know if that means a longer and more miserable flu season or if its early start means an early end. I'm Jackie Quinn.
It was in 1909 in the State of the Union address, President Taft defended the decision to base U.S. naval operations in the Pacific at Pearl Harbor instead of the Philippines. News and analysis at townhall.com. A day after the Uber revealed that more than 3,000 riders and drivers were sexually assaulted last year while using its service, attention is now turning to what's next for the ride-hailing giant and whether its plans to improve its safety go far enough.
Uber's report was hailed by victims' rights organizations for taking a daring step that other companies have so far been unwilling to match. But it's unclear whether the transparency will help rebuild trust or backfire by showing customers how deep Uber's safety problems really are. In the safety report, Uber said 464 people were raped while using its services in 2017 and 2018. Almost all of them, 99.4%, were riders. Patrick Foss reporting.
A bipartisan Senate bill to curb prescription drug costs for Medicare enrollees getting a makeover that could lower copays and make it easier for seniors to budget their money. President Trump said he backs the bill. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Brian Kilmeade, thanks so much for listening. In case you do not know, Nancy Pelosi is just in a press conference, even though I find it sickening, it is historic. She announces they're going to move forward with articles of impeachment. That'll come out of judiciary and feeding off what they did with Adam Schiff's committee. So we'll bring you those latest news, and we'll take your calls on that. We're also going to be joined by probably the best in the business, Ken Starr. In fact, Ken Starr is going to be joining us any moment. So do you want to bring him in? Do we have him? Okay. Ken, welcome to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Oh, he's not there yet. Yeah, I'm just thinking about not doing the big three because of what's going on right now. With Ken Starr here and with the last time we had an impeachment, he was part of it. In fact, let's listen to Nancy Pelosi and what she said last hour. Cut 42.
Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary.
Really? Do you really wish the president had not made it necessary when you've been talking about him being basically a fraud? The last statement was a fraud from day one. She says the facts of the case are uncontested. The president's actions leave her no choice. It is abuse of power. Sadly, but with confidence and humility and an allegiance to the founding fathers, she is going to move forward. A man who knows as much about the Constitution as anyone in the country joins us now, served on the independent counsel investigating Bill Clinton and authored the best-selling book, Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. Ken Starr, welcome. Ken, your reaction to the historic moment that happened 1 hour ago?
Well, it's an outrage to seize control of the deliberative process of a committee simply compounds a series of very, very terrible abuses. Speaking of abuses of power, excuse me, the House Judiciary Committee, with its incredibly rich history, needs to go into executive session, then open session, and debate this. She has purported to dictate, I need the House rules. Where did she get this power to direct a committee to a substantive result as opposed to, I want you to look into this particular issue? So I view it as a completely outrageous, and I'm honestly surprised. Then again, why should I be surprised? Because back early in the fall, as you'll recall, Brian, she unilaterally, with no debate in the People's House, says we now have an impeachment inquiry. Now she's dictating the committee to actually draft articles of impeachment without a deliberative process. It is an abuse of power.
So we saw in the Washington Post yesterday, she had a big meeting with her entire caucus. And she said, basically, who's with me? It was basically a pep rally. They say that all the Democrats are behind her behind closed doors. Interesting. She also says she will not whip any votes. You have to vote with your conscience. Isn't that interesting? She'll vote. I'm not sure I believe that. But the problem, Ken Starr, between your investigation and hers, is that there were Republicans and Democrats voting for impeachment that got to the Senate. There is not nobody I know thinks there's going to be a single Republican in support. And there should, and there is at least two Democrats who won't vote for it. How unique is that?
It is unique because you're quite right. Let's begin with Clinton. 31 Democrats voted to support the impeachment inquiry. Let's go back to Nixon. There was almost a unanimous vote of the House of Representatives, just the opposite of what we're experiencing now, a strict party line vote, or virtually strict party line vote. So what she is doing is she has embarked on a course of action that now is clearly, entirely politically aimed at securing a foreordained result in the House. And with now, I can only imagine how Senator Lindsey Graham, who's a big fan in favor of fairness, follow the rules, and so forth. And, of course, he served in the House Judiciary Committee and was an impeachment manager during the Clinton impeachment. I can only imagine how Lindsey Graham, one of the most respected members of the Senate, is going to respond to this latest one. I think this may lead to a motion to dismiss, which I don't favor. If the House of Representatives says we're going to impeach, then the Senate should hold a trial. But I think this may be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and that Republicans in the Senate just rise up in righteous indignation and say, this is absolutely unacceptable.
The president says, I want a trial. He said, do this. If you're going to impeach, do it quickly because we want a trial. He goes, I want Nancy Pelosi. I want Adam Schiff. I want Joe Biden. I want Hunter Biden front and center. Will he get them if Democrats want them? Will they show?
What the Senate wants, the Senate can get. It has the sole power to try the impeachments. And the Supreme Court of the United States, Brian, as you know, has upheld the discretion that the Senate enjoys in terms of how it orders its proceedings. And the Chief Justice, the late Chief Justice, Bill Rehnquist, who presided over the Clinton impeachment, made only one substantive ruling, and it really was more of an advisory ruling. Hey, said one of the senators, Tom Harkin from Iowa, we're jurors. We've taken an oath. But can we consider, unlike jurors in a trial, can we consider matters outside the trial record here? And the Chief Justice said, yes, you have that authority, and he based that upon his very rich understanding of history. So the short answer is the Senate will be able to do what it wants to do, including saying, Joe Biden, time for you to get Hunter Biden. We want you over here. Now, with respect to – I don't know whether there would be unanimous support – excuse me, substantial consensus for getting – a member of the House of Representatives over. I think that's going to be a really great, but they have this raw power to do it.
Also, there's a few things going on. Number one, all of a sudden, Adam Schiff puts together his report, 300 pages. It includes phone logs because he subpoenaed phone logs of Devin Nunes to Verizon and AT&T. Is that allowed?
Well, it should have been contested. Because this is privacy. This is absolutely at the heart of American value and constitutional right called the right to privacy. And so I need to know more about exactly how that came to be, but it raises a very serious issue, again, of fairness, of respect for individual rights, and so forth. But I tell you, companies, if they get a subpoena from the House of Representatives, they're probably going to obey it, but there should be an opportunity to contest that, Brian, as you well know, in a court of law.
Yeah, I mean, since when is that not contested? Okay, so Adam Schiff could go get my phone records? I have a question. Could Senator Lindsey Graham go get Adam Schiff's phone records?
If he is authorized under the Senate rules, so that's the if, the Senate just has tremendous power, but that doesn't mean that the company – Verizon or whoever it is should not then alert, right, the representative, Adam Schiff, and your interesting hypothetical, to alert him, hey, this is what's going on, and we're going to obey the subpoena unless it's contested. That gives, of course, Adam Schiff the opportunity to go into court and so forth. There are so many procedural irregularities in this entire process. It's so starkly different from, as partisan as it was, as divisive as it was, the procedural process that Henry Hyde, who was chairman of the Judiciary Committee in Clinton, took the committee through. And while people had strong feelings, they nonetheless felt, you know, this process is fair.
And I don't think anyone – I don't really – people are seeing anything's fair. They just say, well, we're in the majority. But I want you to hear what some of the comments that came down yesterday from your fellow law professors. Noah Feldman, who went to Harvard, came out. Everyone said how smart he is. He came out to me as a blatant partisan. I wanted to see someone disseminate the Constitution like Turley, and instead we got this. Cut 8.
On the basis of the testimony and the evidence before the House, President Trump has committed impeachable high crimes and misdemeanors by corruptly abusing the office of the presidency. Specifically, President Trump has abused his office by corruptly soliciting President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine to announce investigations of his political rivals in order to gain personal advantage, including in the 2020 presidential election.
That's a lot of conclusions made by a guy that just seems to be reading Democratic talking points. Are you surprised by that?
I am surprised. Noah Feldman, obviously, is a partisan, but at the same time, he's a very distinguished law professor. But I thought he went beyond the appropriate domain of someone's comment on the Constitution. He became an advocate for impeachment. He became another lawyer in – it's as if he should have gone up, set by – the chairman, by Jerry Nadler, and say, well, this is my view, too. I'm the counsel to the committee. So I really thought that, again, it was poor judgment on his part. I thought that Pamela Karlan showed very poor judgment in not only her very unfortunate comment about the president's son, which she apologized for. It was a bit of a grudging apology. I thought we saw enormously poor judgment exercised by all three of the representatives of the academics. So let me refer to Mr. Gerhardt from the University of North Carolina. He said, and talk about excessive hyperbole, if you don't impeach for this, what is it that you would impeach for? Now, I honestly thought that he had taken leave of his senses. You have completely lost perspective. Just go back and read the articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon. They are powerful. They're overpowering. And it's one of the reasons that the President of the United States resigned. Those articles laid out real crimes. So to compare Nixon to Trump, but he wouldn't even do that. He just rose above that. So, but thank goodness, Brian, we had Jonathan Turley, voice of reason, not a supporter of President Trump. And I think your listeners need to focus on that. This is someone who, Jonathan Turley of George Washington Law School, was willing to say, didn't vote for him. I voted for Clinton. I voted for Obama. So that means he voted for Hillary, of course, but he voted for Bill Clinton. He made that clear. So let's call him a Democrat. But he's intellectually honest. And he said, you are, and he just laid it out, you, and he was looking at the majority, you are abusing power. And now we have Speaker Pelosi compounding the abuse of power.
And the thing is, Ken, I think we're going to have to keep calling you and bothering you for years because the shoe's going to be on the other foot. And they're going to go, listen, yeah, if this is the standard, it's lower now. I don't like this guy. I don't like this woman. I don't like the way she's going about it. Let's impeach. We got the majority. Let's go do it. Let's put them through the ringer like they did us. And that's what he says he feared. But what also bothers me is, if you are Jerry Nadler, Do your homework. If you want to put professors up that believe what you believe, I get it. But when you put professors up that blatantly are on the record on social media calling for the president's impeachment, like this Harvard professor yesterday, he did it in 2017 off a tweet and did it again. And then you have Pamela Karlan, who lets her feelings on C-SPAN be known back in 2017. Listen to this. Cut five.
I got off the bus from Dulles down at L'Enfant Plaza, and I walked up to the hotel. And as I was walking past what used to be the old post office building and is now the Trump Hotel, which I had to cross the street, of course.
Are you staying there?
God, no.
She hates the guy.
Yeah. Contributor to Elizabeth Warren, contributor to Hillary Clinton, and then she made a very tacky comment about impoverished children and so forth. It was a very, very sorry spectacle. And as someone who has taught in law school,
yeah,
have been a law school dean, it was a sad day for the Legal Academy to show the deep politicization of the Academy as opposed to a dispassionate analysis of here is the Constitution, here's the Constitution, hey, here's the silver lining, it's a big cloud, guess what? All of those professors and everyone on the Democratic side who spoke to, including the chairman, they're all originalists. Antonin Scalia is smiling now. It's no longer the living and breathing Constitution. It's what did our beloved, venerated founding fathers believe?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, we should be wearing colonial clothing for just one day. That was how many references we had to our past. Ken, again, thank you for helping me to do that incredible event for the book, Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers, which you were able to do to alert the community that the book was out and a New Yorker wrote it and said it was worth it. Really meant so much.
Well, you were great. And listen, it was standing room only, overflow crowd and so forth. So they love you here in the great state of Texas, Brian.
And I'm going back in a couple of weeks, so I'll see you soon. Ken, thanks so much for bringing some clarity in this breaking news day.
My pleasure.
You got it. Ken Starr, when we come back, your turn, 1-866-408-7669. Listen, I see all your calls. The lines are jammed. I'll get to them in just a moment.
Diving deep into today's top stories, it's Brian Kilmeade.
My name is Preston James. I've been a stock and options trader for 23 years. I used to be an active swing trader, but that all changed once I discovered my MoneyPress weekly paycheck method. These days, I'm a passive trader, hauling in more cash while being able to sleep at night than I ever dreamed possible. I'm passionate about the market, and I like to keep it simple. My methods are changing thousands of lives, and I'm confident it can change yours. But let the proof do the talking by going to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll see a 7-minute video revealing how my MoneyPress method grew a $54,000 account to $174,000 in less than 9 months. That works out to 5.8% per week. You'll see the proof right inside my real brokerage account. This isn't about overnight riches, but once you discover this for yourself, you can start on this same path overnight. You're 7 minutes away from changing everything you thought you knew about trading and investing. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media.
Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-540-3219. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-540-3219. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-540-3219. Again, 800-540-3219.
Pink Martini is returning to Redding's Cascade Theater with singer Chyna Forbes for their all-new holiday show.
Slip a table under the tree for
Pink Martini is a little bit of lounge, a little bit of Hollywood glam, and a whole lot of fun. Don't miss this chance to see them live at the Cascade December 18th. Get tickets now at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds December 19th at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Elements Lounge. Join me along with Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Mike Costa on drums, and Lou White on sax, flute, and clarinet. Enjoy an evening with your favorite Christmas music along with jazz classics. That's 6 to 9 p.m. in Elements Lounge. For reservations, call 243-3377.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Talk.
This is House Call for Health. Trying to eat a healthy diet can be so confusing. It can drive you bananas. But some health experts say the answer to a healthy diet is bananas. Both the tasty inside and the banana peel, too. Australian dietitian Susie Burrell says throwing away the banana peel is a bad idea, not just because someone could slip on it. She says banana peels are high in vitamins B6 and C, plus potassium and magnesium. They can help you lose weight, and the skin of the banana can improve your own skin. Now, eating banana peel may not have much appeal to you, but Burrell says you can blend it into a smoothie or boil it and bake it into a banana cake recipe. She says yellow peels are high in cancer-fighting antioxidants, while green peels can help you sleep better. But if you want to try this, beware of pesticides. Health experts say wash the peels or go organic. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
You're interested in it? Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
So kings could do no wrong because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son baron, he can't make him a baron.
And the smirk she had on her face just really turned your stomach. That's just me. She apologized later while saying the president should apologize for all the things he said. This is a college professor at Stanford. I'd ask for my money back. But do you understand that mindset? I saw it front and center. Tracy, listen on KZRG in Joplin, Missouri. Tracy.
Yeah, Brian. Good morning. I guess one of the frustrations with me and a lot of people in my state are the listening to this congressional record that's being formed. Just like with Denman and his testimony, he takes something in a line that's not even accurate in itself, the way they depict it, and he says the president ordered someone to do something.
I know.
Well, not only that, but all through these congressional hearings, they have been using the phrase, the president asked for a favor, him for a favor, not
it's us.
And then he invokes the attorney general. How is the congressional, which is the lawmaking body, they've had four professors up there. How do they justify falsifying a testimony.
Exactly.
So, witnesses.
And here's the thing: if it, this way you would do it, Tracy from Missouri. Hey, this is Tracy. In my view, the president's using abuse of power. I get it. But when she comes out and says the president abused his power, it's a fact. It's uncontested. He got dirt on a political opponent. None of that's true, and it's all contested. So they are making us scratch our heads every single day. Real quick, Ken in News 96.5 in Orlando. Ken.
Hey, Brian, good morning. I just wanted to say that sometimes, you know, a lot of us, like myself, we get very frustrated because we're hearing all of these sound bites and hear the news, and there's nothing we can say back to these people because
yep.
we're just so frustrated. And so I just wanted to say today, Speaker Pelosi caused me to make a donation to Donald Trump's campaign.
And that's what the Trump campaign feels. I hate impeachment, but the campaign says we're going to get public support on this. And that's why they're investing so much money in these battleground states. They get what they deserve.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find Fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Heavy snow fell in Washington, D.C. the night before John F. Kennedy's inauguration, but thoughts of canceling the plans were overruled. On January 20th, 1961, he stood in the bitter cold on the steps of the Capitol and before a crowd of 20,000 was sworn in as the 35th President of the United States.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Students at Coombe Dean Secondary School in Devon, England make the Dean's List for having lunch with a widower in their neighborhood. 86-year-old Cyril Agate lost his wife 6 years ago. The kids realized they hadn't seen Mr. Agate outside of his home following the death of his wife, Shirley. So a month after the funeral, staff called to invite him for lunch. And now, 4 days a week, Cyril joins the school lunchroom for a meal and a chat with the students and staff. Cyril says when he first joined everyone, after the loss of his wife, he was down in the dumps. But after a cup of tea, lunch, great service, and everyone talking to him, he says he has found a reason to smile. And he realized how he loves the company and noise of others. He'd be lost without everyone. When the school goes on break for the holidays, they send him home with sausages and pies to stock his freezer. Cyril, my friend, you're not alone, and we love you too. And you made the Dean's List, along with all of the students and the faculty at Coombe Dean Secondary School. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary.
Really? Do you believe that? Speaker Pelosi says she prayerfully and somberly calls for articles of impeachment. At the very least, it is historic. We're doing it all again, and it's almost purely on partisan lines, which plays into right what Susan Page of USA Today wrote about, how polarized we are, how angry we are. Now we have news to deal with first. Susan, your reaction to Speaker Pelosi's presser?
Well, you know, it's not a surprise. On the other hand, it is one more step toward impeachment. And it puts the House, I think, on a path to conclude this by the end of the year, which had been the hope of some Democrats. This is moving with really extraordinary speed. We'll now have the Judiciary Committee draw up these articles of impeachment, then send it to the floor for a vote.
And what kind of time are you looking at? Before Christmas? Maybe this week?
No, I don't think this week, because the Judiciary Committee still has work to do in drawing up and then getting a committee approval for the articles of impeachment. But the House announced yesterday that they were going to come back into session that week before Christmas when they were scheduled to be out. And I think that signals that they tentatively plan, at least, to have the vote on impeachment at that week, so right in the period leading up to Christmas.
How do you feel? Do you feel as though when she came out and says the facts are beyond dispute, haven't we witnessed the dispute? Haven't we witnessed this dispute for weeks now, front and center, for hours a day? You can't say the facts are beyond dispute in her mind, but you can't say there's not a counter-argument to it. That is why both sides are not crossing the aisle. In fact, two Democrats have, on the inquiry, no sign they're going to go back with Democrats. Could they lose additional Democrats?
It is possible that Democrats will lose some additional Democrats who will vote against the articles of impeachment. That happened with the Democrats on the Clinton impeachment, you may remember. There were some Democrats who voted in favor of the inquiry, the impeachment inquiry into President Clinton, then voted against the articles of impeachment. There were some Republicans who did. Some Republicans voted. Anyway, it wouldn't be unprecedented to have people who had supported the inquiry decide not to support the actual articles of impeachment. But I don't think Democrats expect to lose more than a handful of votes. Democrats are pretty united on this, as are Republicans. It is interesting, though, that there is a bigger prospect for Democratic defections than there is for Republican defections.
Susan, if you know, there's very few people more knowledgeable with better context in Washington than you. However, and by the way, that was pretty clear in your book. You have respect on both sides of the aisle. It came out in your book, The Matriarch, with Barbara Bush and the Making of an American Dynasty. So having said that, if I was to go up to you 2 months ago when this whole thing started, and it looks like we're going to have hearings, and I said, Nancy Pelosi is going to go forward with this, Do you think they would ever have thought that they go through this entire prospect and their biggest hurdle would be keeping Democrats together instead of acquiring Republicans?
Well, you know, Brian, I'm actually, thank you so much for mentioning my book and for having me on your show to talk about it. I'm now working on another book, which is a biography of Nancy Pelosi. So I've been spending a lot of time thinking about and reporting on Nancy Pelosi. And I think this is what she thought was likely to happen if they proceeded with impeachment. And that's one reason she defied some people in the Democratic caucus before the Ukraine story came out on moving forward with impeachment. She was pretty firm that that was not the right thing to do. But now, of course, once the Ukraine, the summary of the Ukraine phone call came out from the White House, the Democratic support for that was enormous, and she argued that they were now compelled to impeach, even though they've gone into a period where, as you say, we're divided on partisan lines, and there is very little prospect that the president will actually be removed from office by the Senate.
Right. And you look at some of these battleground polling. I'm looking at the Marquette poll. Removal of office trails leave him in by 13 points. This is beginning to then now the Trump administration is so convinced that the impeachment push is working for them in battleground states. They spent $6.5 million on ads up until Sunday. It's probably increased since then, and over $1 million of online ads, mostly Facebook. So the Republicans and Democrats are seeing the same polls. So why would they take this risk?
Well, that Marquette poll of Wisconsin, of course, got a lot of attention, including among Democrats. You know, it not only showed the support for impeachment going down, it showed President Trump defeating in a hypothetical head-to-head the Democrats who might run against him in Wisconsin, of course, a key state. We expect it to be a key state in the presidential race. Here's what Speaker Pelosi would say to your question. She would say, in the end, it wasn't a political question. We felt compelled to move ahead with impeachment. That doesn't mean they're ignoring the political ramifications. And I actually think, Brian, that it is very hard to calculate with any confidence at this point how impeachment will have an effect on the presidential election. And I think it is possible that it has very little effect, that this election is fought on different grounds entirely.
So guess what happens, Susan, as you write about in your front page story? Nothing gets done, and we get angrier. Angrier. I mean, you think we're angry now. You're not going to believe the anger is going to go off the charts. And I'm talking about from both coasts to the so-called flyover country that actually fuels this show. People are just going to get more dug in. And who wins? Basically the country loses.
You know, this was one of the most interesting things in the poll that USA Today did off of a project called Hidden Common Ground. And that was, we have common ground, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, on how upset people are about how divided we are, how frustrating that is. And one thing it's done, people feel like their own lives are going pretty well. More than 8 in 10 people told us,
yeah,
my life is headed in the right direction. But 7 out of 10 said the country has gotten off track. That's a huge disconnect. You know, usually those two numbers move in tandem. People think their own lives are going well, so they think the country's doing all right. That has been, that tie has been broken now. And you do see bipartisan concern about the national leadership in the country, the ability to solve problems, and whether politicians in both parties are speaking up in the interest of the voters they represent.
I watched yesterday, and I expect to see four professors. Most of us went to college, lucky enough to go to college, and we have professors in big lecture halls, and some of them are geniuses, just not good necessarily teachers. So I thought we were going to have a low-key affair. I could not believe what I saw yesterday. All four against Trump. Jonathan Turley is the only one who said, yeah, I'm against him. I don't love the phone call. But this is not impeachable, and I'm scared for the country and the next president if we do. But he also talked about anger. Listen to what he said.
We are living in the very period described by Alexander Hamilton, a period of agitated passions. I get it. You're mad. The president's mad. My Republican friends are mad. My Democratic friends are mad. My wife is mad. My kids are mad. Even my dog seems mad. And Luna's a golden doodle, and they don't get mad. So we're all mad. Where's that taken us? Will a slipshod impeachment make us less mad?
And that was one of his many good points, that I thought we were going to get four people like that. I don't care what their opinions are, but I really saw three pundits, Democratic, like anti-Trumpers, and Jonathan Turley goes, I didn't vote for him, I don't support a lot of what he does, but I thought he made the most sense. What's your take, Susan?
You know, I think he's exactly right that people are mad and they're also scared. And one thing we asked people in this poll was, have you been affected by this angry debate? 11% of Americans told us, 11% of the people we surveyed said they have suffered periods of sadness and depression as a result of the angry politics in our country. That translates to 24 million Americans who have suffered sadness and depression because they watch our politics be so divided. That is really remarkable.
Yeah, it's just it's amazing there's not one adult in the room with power, in a seat of power, that would say, I'm pulling back from this. And because in the big picture, it's not about Republicans or Democrats, but about the country. I'm under the belief after this next election, it's going to become the in thing to do to compromise. I firmly believe that. It's going to start with immigration. Then they're going to realize on health care, one party can't do it even if they think it's perfect. It's just going to get turned over as soon as they lose power. And I think we're going to get in a roll that way. But unfortunately, I think the infection is going to get a little worse first. Susan, finally, do you know procedurally what we can expect next?
Well, what we should expect next are at least one, maybe more, additional House Judiciary Committee hearings to drop the articles of impeachment. You know, President Trump has until Friday to say if he wants to participate in a Judiciary Committee hearing. We don't think he will, but he hasn't answered that question yet. Then they'll drop the articles of impeachment. They'll approve them on the committee, probably along party lines, and then it goes to the floor of the House.
And that'll be about it. And then we're going to see if they're going to include anything from the Mueller probe. That seemed to be the thing yesterday. Is that what you gleaned from it?
Well, I think there's a debate among Democrats about whether they want to do that or not. And I don't think it's resolved yet. At least if it's resolved, we don't know that it's resolved. We know pretty clearly three articles of impeachment that relate to the Ukraine pressure. But we don't, I think, know at this point whether there will also be an article of impeachment tied to the Mueller probe.
And we got a part. Regardless, it's going to be basically a strictly party vote, and the only intriguing thing will be how many Democrats defect. Susan Page, great to see you on this breaking news day. That's historic. We'll always remember. And if you want to understand where we're at as a country, read USA Today today. It's the first story. Susan, thanks so much. Congratulations on the Barbara Bush book, and I'm sure the Nancy Pelosi book will be intriguing too. Thank you.
Hey, Brian. Thanks so much.
You got it. When we come back. I just got word we're going to be joined by the ranking member, Doug Collins. So I also want you to stay there. We got a three-hour show. I'm not sure what order we're taking it, depending on the market you're in. But we have a long show, so I want you to stay there because I want you to be able to sound off. Nancy Pelosi is moving forward the articles of impeachment. This is Historic Thursday, Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, Protect My Car is announcing a low-cost extended service plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay nothing for auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay nothing for auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-807-8216 now. Drivers who are covered by Protect My Car will not have to pay for a covered repair bill again. This auto coverage is at an all-time low, much lower than what dealerships are charging. Additionally, drivers who activate this auto coverage today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and free car rental at no additional cost. Call Protect My Car for your free quick quote today. 800-807-8216. 800-807-8216. What do you have to lose? Again, 800-807-8216.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Fox News.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Today, I'm asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary.
Speaker of the House, 30 minutes ago, announcing articles of impeachment going forward, taking the mystery out. Joining us now, ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, where those articles of impeachment will be drafted, Doug Collins. Congressman, what's your reaction to this breaking news?
Well, the good thing about it is I'm not surprised. I mean, they've been wanting to do this from day one. This has been the worst-kept secret in Washington, D.C. Speaker Pelosi has wanted to impeach this president for a long time. She's had to suffer through ineptness in the Judiciary Committee, hidden secrets and closed-door meetings with Adam Schiff to get there. But now she's just determined that she can't wait any longer, and this is what we're going to be doing. So Merry Christmas, America. The Democrats are destroying the unity in our country, and they're doing so in a president who is doing his very best for our country. So we'll see what happens. Yesterday was a total disaster for them, so I don't know how you move off yesterday and move into impeachment articles today.
She says the facts are uncontested. The president sought dirt on a political opponent. She says this is an abuse of power, and she went on to say she has really no choice but to do this. She does it sadly, but with confidence and humility and allegiance to the founding fathers. What's your reaction to that statement?
Well, I'm not sure how much she's read the Founding Fathers, because the Founding Fathers were very concerned about a political impeachment, which is what this is. I'm tired of their humility. I'm tired of their somberness. They've never done this. I mean, let's go back. Where was the humility and somberness when one of her own members said that, using expletives, we're going to impeach him at the day she was sworn in? Okay, let's get over this and saying we're being somber. We wish we didn't have to do this. That's such a load of bull. It piles higher than a cow farm. I mean, this is, they're just going at this because this is what they want to do. Let's listen, I'm always a big believer in choice counseling. Choice counseling says you make your choices and you live with it. I'm ready for the Democrats to own this, and those Democrats go out and explain to their districts why, instead of doing all the other things from USMCA, prescription drugs, infrastructure, they're choosing to continue the persecution of this president. And yesterday, I mean, look, the facts are undisputed. She needs to get somebody else to give her talking points, because that's the biggest line of fiction since John Gresham's last book.
Well, she did it right at 9:08. It was 9:02. She did it with 8 minutes. It was all scripted. She tried to give perspective as if she had no choice. So, Congressman, I asked you last Thursday, what's going on this week? You didn't know. And then you said Jerry Nadler didn't know. So we have Thanksgiving. We come back, and then we get this hearing. Now what? And now what after hearing that? Do you know what's next?
No. I wish Jerry Nadler knew what was next. He has no clue. I asked him last night. I put him on the spot last night. Number one, I do know one thing. We're going to get our minority hearing day because we properly asked for it. It's under the rules, and we're going to get a minority hearing day. We'll see how that plays out. We asked for.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's going to be that we're going to have a hearing, which we call witnesses. So we're actually going to be able to present the other side and get this in a different way. And we'll talk to you more about that as the chairman gives me my time. But the issue that we've got now is Jerry Nadler has no clue to what he's doing next. We're waiting on them to tell us. This is how sad, this is how broken the Democratic Party is up here. They cannot even tell. After the speaker, the leader of their party, tells us, go draft articles of impeachment, the chairman of the committee that's supposed to do that can't tell us how that's supposed to happen. And we're not even supposed to give him our, quote, witness list till tomorrow. But he's not told us what the hearings are going to be. It looks like now they're going to bypass all due process, all pretense, and go straight to impeachment.
Doug Collins with us now. Congressman, have you talked to any Democrat that has told you, number one, they're not comfortable, and number two, they're not voting for it?
Not past the two, but I've talked to a lot of people who are uncomfortable. And, you know, look, I've had members come up to me and say, you know, look, they were furious about yesterday again. It's like, really? Several of them have made mention that it didn't go well for them. I'm not sure where they thought it went well. I mean, you have to be in an alternate universe to believe yesterday was perfect for them to make their case, when most of their witnesses, one, were very hateful to the president, number one. But number two, they kept talking. Their examples were back to, you know, historical Middle England. I mean, this is not preparing the facts of the case. And Mr. Turley yesterday did a great job of saying, you're basically saying facts don't matter. In other words, you're saying whatever facts we want will fit it to our impeachment case. And one of the witnesses said, it's an inference is okay. If you infer that that's what happened, then that's enough for impeachment. That's just wrong.
It was an embarrassment yesterday, and I say that just as a viewer. I mean, to see those three partisans, not the North Carolina guy as much as the other two, was sickening. It was like a knockoff pundit meeting. Here's Jonathan Turley, I think, something that's very salient for this moment. As we know, articles of impeachment will be filed. Cut 12.
I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing.
Because he wasn't turning over every witness. He was going to the courts for the subpoenas and having them decide. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, from the 25th, that's the standard you're using. Obama wouldn't have lasted his first term. I mean, there's a part that the president, there's always a give and take between the executive and the congressional. It always has been, always will be. And, I mean, I go back to, but one of the things I'm going to emphasize, not even use the Obama administration, not use others, just this year, when my chairman was being a stick in the mud, not going and talking to the Department of Justice, not trying to make accommodations, Adam Schiff, actually in intelligence, went to them, had accommodations made, and were getting more information than the Judiciary Committee because they were willing to have an ongoing conversation. Elliot Engel, who chairs the Foreign Affairs Committee, going to the different departments and getting the same thing because they're willing to negotiate. My chairman is just incapable of rational thought.
Doug Collins, thanks so much for following this breaking news.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto
may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-540-3219. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-540-3219. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-540-3219. Again, 800-540-3219.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. The House Judiciary Committee issued a report Saturday to explain the constitutional grounds for the impeachment of President Trump.
The report comes after Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced earlier in the week that the House would be moving forward with drafting formal articles of impeachment. The articles could be released and voted on as soon as this coming week. The report, titled Constitutional Grounds for Presidential Impeachment, was written by the committee's majority staff and describes impeachment as the Constitution's final answer to a president who mistakes himself for a monarch. No House Republicans are expected to vote for impeachment. Two Democrats, Congressman Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey and Congressman Colin Peterson of Minnesota, are expected to vote no. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
North Korea says it's carried out a very important test at its long-range rocket launch site that will have key effect on the country's strategic position. The Korean Central News Agency said the test was conducted at the North's Sohae satellite launching station Saturday afternoon. Leading Senate Republicans are resisting the notion that turnabout is fair play when it comes to impeachment hearings.
Few have been more critical of the House impeachment process than Judiciary Committee Chairman Senator Lindsey Graham. Yet he says, quote, "You got two different bodies here." Graham signaling he won't allow an expected Senate trial to descend into the chaos seen in the process led by House Democrats. That makes it unlikely his committee will accede to demands by many Trump supporters to call as witnesses key players in the House hearings, such as Congressman Adam Schiff and Speaker Pelosi, or former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Biden reporting.
Amazon has signed a lease for a new office space in Manhattan that will house more than 1,500 employees. This comes less than a year after they pulled out of a deal for a larger headquarters in the borough of Queens after politicians and activists objected to nearly $3 billion they were offering in incentives. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? Did you know in just a few minutes you can find the best price from up to 10 price competitive companies for free? You can with SelectQuote. For example, George is 39. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $22 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551, 800-607-3551, or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
We're just a week into the holiday shopping season, and already Amazon's having trouble getting packages to shoppers' doorsteps on time.
The company said the delays are due to bad weather in parts of the country. The large amount of orders it received during Black Friday and Cyber Monday would have offered steep discounts. The Seattle-based company said in a statement, delivery promises vary and may be longer than normal based on our order volume and the fulfillment and delivery capacity available in a given area. We will work directly with customers who are experiencing an issue. It's an embarrassing setback for Amazon, whose reputation with shoppers depends on delivering orders on time. Patrick Frost reporting.
It was on December 8, 1941, the United States entered World War II as Congress declared war against Imperial Japan a day after the attack on Pearl Harbor. And in 1980, former Beatle John Lennon shot to death outside his New York apartment building. Breaking news in analysis at townhall.com. The head of the Federal Aviation Administration will face questions next week from a congressional panel about the agency's review of the Boeing 737 MAX, which has been grounded since two crashes killed 346 people.
The House Transportation Committee says FAA Administrator Stephen Dixon will testify at a hearing on December 11th. It's taking much longer than Boeing expected to update the MAX's flight software and computers and put together a pilot training course. It's also not clear whether the company can meet its goal of resuming deliveries of the plane this month.
Jeremy House reporting. Dixon said last week that the Federal Aviation Administration would handle the review of all MAX jets built since the grounding, which is an estimated more than 300 of the airplanes. They would do that rather than delegate some of that work to Boeing employees. Be sure to check out more on these stories. Log on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
A Cascade favorite holiday tradition, Thomas Fiend's Celtic Christmas, returns to the Cascade Theater on Saturday, December 21st, filled with Celtic singing, music, dancing, and stories. It's a night of joy, laughter, and the giving spirit of the season that is great for the whole family. Get tickets today at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
News Radio Studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. One day after impeachment, a lot of breaking news today as well. We're looking at an active shooter situation in Pensacola, Florida, where we just got word that the shooter is now dead. Five in the area hospital. They say as many as 10 have been shot. We also got word that the guy was, or the woman, I don't know who it is, but you assume it's a man, running around for 2 hours before they were neutralized. Choppers flying in before they were neutralized. So we'll follow the breaking news like we always do while giving you perspective on what else is in the news. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
We have a large military, and we're prepared to defend our friends and allies, and if the troops are needed to deter Iran, we have the capacity to move them into the region, although I don't think that's happening right now.
Robert O'Brien, new national security advisor. Iran teetering economically, domestically, and American warships just intercepted missiles going to Yemen as we send more troops to the Middle East. Why do I think this evil regime is ready to strike?
Number two.
Us.
You're selling access to the president just like he was.
So you're a damn liar, man. That's not true. And you want to check my shape on? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do.
Check my shape on? Joe Biden, front-runner in the national polls and leader in a viral, unexplainable, unstable performance. You just heard his words. I'll tell you about his actions and his new attack ad on Trump that might have started a fight he does not want, nor is he capable of finishing.
Number one.
Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary.
Really, she's threatening it, she's preparing us for it, and now she did it. Speaker Pelosi is drafting an article of impeachment. I'll bring you her insincere comments, conclusions, and political ramifications from both sides. And of course, I'll preface that with, nobody knows exactly the ramifications. We don't know the articles of impeachment. We don't know what else is going to come out or not come out along the way. But I know that this case is very much up for dispute. It is not known. We don't know, like we did with the Clinton investigation, about what he was doing with an intern. We don't know that he lied under oath like we did with Clinton. We don't know what was captured on tapes with Richard Nixon. These are all unknowables. These are very much up for dispute. And every time a lawmaker comes out and says it's beyond dispute, then I know they're not telling the truth because we have a television. We read the comments. There's a huge pushback. There's a reason why not one Republican is broken from their party. There's a huge dispute. It's not a fear of Donald Trump. If there's any politician with less political power who is less hooked in, it's Donald Trump is no anybody. Yeah, he's got power and popularity within Republican circles, but he's not going to hit 433 or 191 different lawmakers in the House. He can't possibly control all the 53 senators in the Senate. But right now, they're looking at this case and go, I don't get it. But it didn't stop Nancy Pelosi from doing a town hall last night. And get this, earlier in the town hall, she's like, I'm tired of talking about impeachment. Really? You have a historic action that you take at 9, and then you do a town hall at night, and you're wondering why they're talking about impeachment that you did at 9. Listen to her prayerfully going through this. Cut one.
So in any case, it's a pretty exciting to have the role, to be here at this time. I would hope that the legacy would be one of respect, one of fairness, and one of honoring my oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, so help me God.
Oh, what is she even talking about? The way she cites the founding fathers, like she's Dave McCullough, suddenly. The way she prayerfully, now she's become Christian Catholic. Now she doesn't even want to use the word hate in the sentence, but her actions show she has pure hatred for the president, and she put America's interest in second place, because America's interest is funding the government, prescription drugs, USMCA. This is not in America's interest. And you have not proven that you could do both at the same time, not even close. And I don't know who convinced her that this is the right time to push for impeachment, but it's clearly not the right time for the country. And it certainly hasn't united the party, which is not even close to getting a single Republican to switch sides. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times. Where we go from here? Cut 29.
I do not. And what I have a reason to believe they're going to do is set up a bunch of conditions by which it'll be, I think, another not incredibly long, but a couple of pages long letter. As we have seen before, if passed as prelude, this could end up taking up until the deadline, maybe even shortly after it. And that they will say some version of, if you do XYZ, then we would participate. But XYZ is not going to be, I think, anything that anyone thinks that the House is going to do.
So we're going to see the House with the White House will continue to say we're not participating. When it comes to the Senate, this whole thing's going to flip on its head. You're going to see a lot of backtracking for Democrats. They're going to have to demonstrate and explain what they did. And what I don't get, and no one's effectively explained to me, is how the heck you can go and get phone records from Devin Nunes, from all these other, and now this other reporter. You can go and find lawmakers, find out who Rudy Giuliani's calling and who they're calling at the White House. Who gave them permission to do that? Since when do they have that type of power? That makes no sense to me. It makes no sense at all. For Doug Collins, he thinks that Nancy Pelosi is over her skis. Cut 9.
I've heard her say that the president's the one dividing us. I'm sorry. Our democracy is at stake right now because the Democrats keep going after a vote that was legally done, legally held, and they want to overturn 63 million voters. That's what this is about. The American people deserve better than this. And what we're seeing right now is a speaker who is disconnected from reality. She's saying that we're going to play warm music and drink hot cocoa and everything's going to get better. Stop attacking the president. Start doing the people's work. Stop having an impeachment.
Well, there's a problem. And there's going to be a political problem. She was asked point blank by Jake Tapper, if it ends up on Election Day, you lose, if Donald Trump gets 4 more years in the White House and the exit polls reveal that it's because of impeachment work to him, it would have been worth it. She actually says yes. Really? It's worth it? You're not doing anything for the country. This is a debate. This is a decision that makes you might not want to vote for somebody by they handle their Ukrainian policy, not impeach somebody. For Democrat in New Jersey in a Republican district, Jeff Van Drew, his decision is easy. He is not voting for impeachment. 10.
Unless there's something, again, that I haven't seen, haven't heard before, that has been my position. For reasons that I've staked out, for numerous reasons, the reason I just staked out, you know, be careful what you wish for.
They put $6 million into these battleground states running at these lawmakers who upset the Republican in 2018. They're going at them hard. You're putting impeachment in their ads. Andrew Yang, I never play this guy's cuts. I find him irrelevant. I find him intrigued. I give him credit. I don't like any of his policies, but young people seem to like him. Andrew Yang told the Rolling Stone this, cut 11.
I'm pro impeachment, but this is going to be a loser. If all that happens is all of the Democrats are talking about impeachment that fails, then it seems like there is no vision. It seems like all we can do is throw ineffective rocks at Donald Trump, right. And then it ends up leading, unfortunately, toward his reelection.
Yeah, and by the way, if it also maybe hurt you in the House, you had 19 Republican retirements. Now you have Trump on the ticket. That'll help Republicans, but there's a huge, they got a huge gap to fill, but it might be getting filled. You saw Jeff Van Drew trying to tell Republicans, I'm not voting for impeachment, so leave me there, but he's in trouble. Oklahoma's Kendra Horns, the 5th Congressional District. In bright red Oklahoma, 49% want a new member of Congress representing them, 37% say that she deserves reelection, 52% oppose impeachment. So she is going to be in trouble. Is she going to be the third to vote against it for her own self-preservation? And keep in mind how embarrassing, unprecedented this is. The Democrats are doing this without any Republicans and without all of the Democrats. And finally, I don't want to take too much time away from Congressman Mike Johnson, who was brilliant yesterday, 2 days ago, or Andy McCarthy with his great legal mind. But I do want to get to Mark Thiessen, who is not a fan of this phone call the president made, but definitely doesn't smell impeachment. Cut 14.
There are a lot of people out there. There's two different things. There are a lot of people out there, a majority of Americans, I think even 70% polls show of Americans think he did something wrong. But it's a minority that think that he did something wrong enough to be removed from office, and especially in an election year. That this is the problem, is that the Democrats have not made their case. They had weeks of wall-to-wall coverage on our network, on other networks. They had witness after witness. And if you look at the polls, the fact is, especially in the swing states, which are really what they should be concerned about, the number of people supporting impeachment and removal has dropped. In Wisconsin, it's almost doubled the number of people. It was by a 7-point margin before the hearings, and it's by a 13-point margin that people oppose impeachment and removal. So they haven't made their case to the American people.
We come back, Congressman Mike Johnson. He was asking the questions of the professors. And guess what? The one that made the most sense, not because I agree with him, but because he actually took this seriously and explained the Constitution and why this doesn't rise to impeachment, is getting death threats even before he left the microphone. I'm talking about Jonathan Turley. How does Congressman Mike Johnson feel about that? He'll be joining us next.
It's Brian Kilmeade. If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, Protect My Car is announcing a low-cost extended service plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay nothing for auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay nothing for auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-807-8216 now. Drivers who are covered by Protect My Car will not have to pay for a covered repair bill again. This auto coverage is at an all-time low, much lower than what dealerships are charging. Additionally, drivers who activate this auto coverage today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and free car rental at no additional cost. Call Protect My Car for your free quick quote today. 800-807-8216. 800-807-8216. What do you have to lose? Again, 800-807-8216.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
When Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974, Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him, who ordains not only righteousness but love, not only justice but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
That's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
The greatest danger of this fraudulent impeachment production is not what happens this afternoon or by Christmas or in the election next fall. The greatest danger is what this will do in the days ahead to our 243-year experiment in self-governance. What effect this foolish new president, this Pandora's box, will have upon our beleaguered nation 6 or 7 years from now, a decade from now, in the ruins of public liberty that are being created by this terribly short-sighted exercise today. God help us.
I yield back.
Part of the testimony on Wednesday of this week, Congressman Mike Johnson, that was him of Louisiana, the 4th District, member of the House Judiciary Committee, joins us now. Congressman, did you know when you were speaking then that we'd be looking at articles of impeachment now?
Brian, I think this is a predetermined political outcome, so none of the this outcome, this strategy really surprised us all that much. I mean, you have to remember, and I know your listeners are savvy, they know, these guys, the Democrats wanted to impeach President Donald Trump from the day he was elected, and they vowed to do it within days. Look, over the last 3 years, they've introduced 4 separate resolutions seeking impeachment of the president. Almost 2 years ago, Brian, December 6th, exactly 2 years ago almost, 58 House Democrats voted to begin impeachment proceedings. Now, that was 20 full months before the famous July 25th phone call with Ukraine's President Zelensky. So this was all predetermined a long time ago, and what's happening now shouldn't surprise us at all. It's just it's completely shameful, but it's not surprising.
It's amazing. Do you consider this process quick?
Quick? Look, it's that's the understatement of the year. It's the fastest moving impeachment on the thinnest record in the 243-year history of the country. Okay, let me give you a few numbers, because these are the numbers that people can talk about around the water cooler at work today. Ken Starr turned in 36 boxes of evidence over to the Judiciary Committee during the Clinton impeachment thing. You know how many chairmanship has given our committee now? Zero. Okay? This impeachment investigation has moved more than 20 times faster than the Clinton impeachment, and at least 3 times faster than the Nixon impeachment. These guys are on a rocket docket to remove Donald Trump. And the reason they are is because, as of course we all know, we're shifting into an election cycle. There's an election next fall. They can't wait. As Nancy Pelosi said, you heard, Brian, her quote just a few weeks ago. She said, we can't allow the American people to evaluate Donald Trump at the ballot box. We got to take him out before that, because they know they can't beat him there.
Well, we got some news this morning. Their projected job gains of 184,000, which would have been good. You got 266,000. Unemployment drops again to another 50-year low now to 3.5%. So the economic numbers are staggering outside the deficit. But, Congressman, here's what Nancy Pelosi wants us to believe. Cut 4.
This isn't about politics at all. This is about patriotism. It's not about partisanship. It's about honoring our oath of office.
You buy that?
Well, of course not. It's absurd. Those job numbers, everyone in this country ought to be standing up and applauding, and many of them are, but not our colleagues, not our Democrat friends here on the Hill. Their response to record low unemployment, to everyone and every demographic doing better, is to get rid of the guy who's responsible for it. It's completely political, and it's totally absurd. 20 years ago, Chairman Jerry Nadler, the chairman of our House Judiciary Committee now, he was around during the Clinton impeachment scandal and that whole problem, and he said 20 years ago, a single-party impeachment proceeding would be terribly disruptive to our country. He was exactly right. Now, he's flipped it 108 degrees because it's politically expedient for them to do so. And as our witness, Professor Turley, said in the hearing, he asked a very important rhetorical question of the Democrats. He said, you guys, you got to sit there and think through what you're doing here. You're opening a Pandora's box. If it's okay to impeach a president of the United States on a record this thin, you have to think about what you're doing for the future of this country. Because what happens the next time there's a Democrat in the White House and the other team wants to take him out for a traffic ticket or whatever it was, right? These are serious implications to this, and we're going down a very dangerous road.
So here is Jonathan Turley talking about this is just not how you impeach a president.
It's wrong because this is not how you impeach an American president. This case is not a case of the unknowable. It's a case of the peripheral. We have a record of conflicts, defenses that have not been fully considered, unsubpoenaed witness with material evidence. To impeach a president on this record would expose every future president to the same type of inchoate impeachment. Principle often takes us to a place we would prefer not to be. That was the place 7 Republicans found themselves in the Johnson trial.
So he is getting death threats even before he left your hearing. There's pressure on George Washington University to fire him. When he opened up his testimony saying, I didn't support or vote for Donald Trump. What's your reaction to the reaction?
Well, it's absolutely shameful. He was the best possible witness that you could bring before a congressional committee. He was totally objective. He began his remarks, as you said, by saying, I'm not a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for Donald Trump. He didn't particularly like the president, right? But he said, I'm here for the Constitution. And that's what we were supposed to be delving into yesterday. The problem is none of those witnesses, including Mr. Turley, but the three that the Democrats brought in, these law professors, they didn't have any personal knowledge of a single material fact in the Schiff report. We don't have any access to the underlying evidence that Schiff and his accomplices gathered together in the basement over all those weeks. I mean, we're the committee, the House Judiciary Committee is the one that actually has jurisdiction over impeachment. And they won't even allow us to look at the evidence. And when we went in there for this hearing, I pointed this out in my remarks, Brian, there's 24 Democrats on the other side of the dais. Okay, 24 Democrats serve on House Judiciary Committee. You know how many of those have already voted for impeachment? 17. So let's not even pretend that anybody's in there with an open mind, that they're in there to weigh the evidence or even what these professors say. They've already made their minds up. The whole thing is a total charade.
Yeah, we got under a minute left, but Congressman Johnson, Monday you're going to just hear the 300 pages summarized. Is that what we're going to be seeing?
So far as we know, they keep changing this by the hour. I mean, they're making it up as they go. I think they've walked themselves so far out on this political plank that they can't turn back. And I think it's going to be terribly destructive for their political prospects next year. I think it's political malpractice at a stunning level. And it's just very interesting to see how it all unfurls. I think that's what's going to happen Monday, but we're still waiting around to find out.
Congressman Johnson, I thought you were really good in those hearings this week, but too bad it could not trip up the impeachment. I think everyone's going to lose in this. I just think nothing gets done and everyone loses. And it's really Nancy Pelosi that put this train on its tracks. Congressman, thanks so much.
You got it, buddy. Thank
Andy
you.
Andy McCarthy next.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
In a recent speech, Attorney General William Barr strongly underscored the religious foundations of America. He said the founders saw religious liberty as the scaffolding on which they hung a free government. Well, Mr. Barr reminds us that free government only works for religious people who know there is a transcendent moral order preceding state or man-made law. He is concerned that militant secularists not only promote their own view, but seek to silence the religious voice. Folks, Pacific Justice Institute shares this concern. Become a partner today to help PJI defend the religious voice. Visit PJI.org.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at PacificJustice.org. That's PacificJustice.org.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1988. Jimmy Swaggart.
To my Lord and my Savior, I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I did not commit any crime.
Read my lips.
Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
There was a terrible explosion, and the whole sky lit up, and it was virtually raining fire.
We must never surrender. America will get better. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. During Supreme Court arguments, Justice Clarence Thomas doesn't speak much, preferring to just listen. But Justice Thomas is speaking out in a new documentary.
If you criticize a black person who's more liberal, you're racist. Whereas if you can do whatever to me.
Created Equal, Clarence Thomas, in his own words, is produced by a conservative organization. It revisits the still controversial confirmation hearings with the accusations made by Anita Hill.
Judge Thomas began to use work situations to discuss sex,
which he described as a high-tech lynching.
I'd rather die than withdraw from the process.
Justice Thomas said it was a campaign to destroy him.
Hey, come on. We know what this is all about.
He also criticizes the way the Senate committee chairman handled the confirmation hearing. That senator was Joe Biden, now running for president. The documentary is due out in 2020. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weindlum, Fox News.
Unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
People hear the appeals to, you know, free college, free health care, or at least, you know, Medicare for all, with you're not really going to have to pay for it. Just the rich folks will pay for it. Better Social Security benefits, even though the Social Security system is actuarially unsound. They hear all that, and that appeals to them, but then their practicality clicks in and says, wait a minute. If it sounds too good to be true, maybe I should take a second look at this. And so that's where moderates have a chance to say, look, we can give you some of what you want. We represent evolutionary change, which is actually achievable, as opposed to revolutionary change, which is just going to allow the president to get reelected.
Essentially Evan Bay, who is a legitimate moderate and was almost the running mate of President Trump. He was the runner-up, of President Obama, to Joe Biden, and he left. There's nothing else for him to achieve. They went to the minority eventually. And I don't think in Indiana they were looking for a Republican, clearly. And even though he's got the legendary name, his dad was a big politician, too. So that was Evan Bay saying, I don't even recognize my party, but he thinks that his party can be saved by a moderate. I don't see where the moderates are. When 68% of Democrats say they're happy with the field, where's the urgency? The latest Quinnipiac poll, Joe Biden with 24, Mayor Pete, that he had 21, went from 10 to 16, so he is second. Warren is 14, was at 28% in October. Sanders still hangs in there at 13. But the problem with Warren, and you know this, there's nothing authentic about her, number one. Number two, she acts like she's so competent and great, but to all her plans don't pass the smell test, especially the whole Medicare for All. They do it, and it's cost something like $92 trillion. So they have another debate coming up. It looks like he's going to qualify. Joe Biden, Buttigieg, Harris, Klobuchar, Sanders, and Warren have qualified for the debate. So she hasn't qualified yet. On deck is Yang and Steyer and Gabbard. They're just one poll away at 4% of getting there. But so far, you have no Klobuchar. You have no Cory Booker. Klobuchar is in there, but she does not register more than 3%. So far, you have Cory Booker, who's just been invisible. His latest challenge is laughable. He says, if you want me in the race, I need help, so go to my website. I'm not taking corporate PAC money. If you want me in the race, people are telling you they don't want you in the race. In fact, let's hear his words. Cut 26.
If you want me in this race, if you
getting on the debate stage?
It is facing one of those moments where, and people have responded to this before, that if you want me in this race, if you want my voice and my message, which is resonating, then I need help. We need people to go to CoryBooker.com and contribute so that we can do what I see a lot of the billionaires in the race now doing, which is just running nonstop ads to boost their poll numbers. I'm not taking corporate PAC money. I'm not taking a lot of them. I'm running on individual contributions, and that's what we're going to need to keep going.
So here's that. Not only does the president look at the field and say, I can beat him, he's like looking at impeachment. Instead of it weakening him, he has spent $6.8 million on impeachment TV ads, saying, look what they're trying to do to me, vote for me, in battleground states, making Democrats very nervous. They spent just $4.7 million. Now, you would think they have this great story to tell, so they're going to spend even more. But the Republicans embrace the negativity. And they're also selling memorabilia. Where's Hunter T-shirts are selling like crazy, and T-shirts that say bullshit. So that, to me, is bring it on like you've never seen before. Something else important, and I mentioned this a little with Michael Goodwin, the President of the United States is handling this very uniquely for him. He is not tweeting that much of late. He went 4 days about without really tweeting, and at the same time goes to Afghanistan, where he was clearly moved. Some great video there of him with the troops, and I think he loved it. About 11 hours in the air, arrives, surprises them, meets with them, eats with them, serves them, and then says, oh, by the way, I think the Taliban really want peace talks, so I'm going to get that going. Nobody knew about that at all, which is typical President Trump. I have no problem with that. He's pushing the edge of the envelope. That's what his enemies say is lying. To me, he's marketing. These guys are dying for peace talks, and they go, did you ask for peace talks? No. Did you ask for peace talks? No. They can't figure him out. So he doesn't use the diplomatic language. So he goes back and forth. And Mark Penn, and we should try to get him on, because Mark Penn was the strategist, but somewhat of a moderate, was with the Clintons the first time around, Hillary, not the second time. And now he's got pretty much an independent polling firm, and he's a great person. He evidently was at the White House the other day, and he met with the president. Now, he's a Democrat. Why would he meet with the president? Well, he doesn't really love the Democratic Party. He does not really see eye to eye with many of these candidates. And the president asked him to come, so he's going to come. So he went. And why is it now that the president is going to NATO, flying to Afghanistan, he's talking about these meetings? Keep in mind, too, there's another story simmering out there that could really break the president's direction, but more than that, our direction as a country. And that is what's happening in Iran. Did you see? People want to quickly say it's America behind it. It's not. Iran, this according to the New York Times, is experiencing its deadliest political unrest since the Islamic Revolution 40 years ago, with 180 people killed and possibly hundreds more. It started 2 weeks ago when they quickly upped gasoline prices. They're sitting on an ocean of oil, and their gasoline, I guess refinery is an issue, went up 50%. Within 72 hours, outraged demonstrators in cities large and small and rural communities started rising up and protesting. So these thugs start shooting them dead. Can you imagine that? Most of the protesters are unemployed, low-income young men between 19 and 26. Do you think they're listening to us? No. But they have an administration that's not going to run from the unrest. We'll back it. Now, in the southwest city, a city I can't pronounce, witnesses and medical personnel said the IRG, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, surrounded and shot and killed 40 to 100 demonstrators just in cold blood. That's going to enrage these people who are extremely well-educated, know the life they should be living, know the potential of industry and with that education and with their natural resources they should be having. But we're starving them. We're starving them because they refuse to give up their nuclear program, and that means Hezbollah doesn't get much money, Islamic Jihad is taking it back, and Hamas isn't funded that much. And the money that's still going there is not going to their own country, and they are fed up with that. So they are beginning to feel the pressure. Look for them to lash out. It's got to be a worry. It's got to be somewhat of a concern. I asked the Secretary of State that, too. He's been looking at it, too. He is now the subject of some upset among the Ayatollahs. Cut 22.
The challenge that the Iranian economy faces is the direct result of the Iranian leadership. It has nothing to do with the sanctions we've put in place. The Iranian leadership has failed to serve their people. It continues to fail to serve their people. It's important to note, the world should know, that humanitarian assistance, medical supplies, and those kinds of things are expressly permitted to go into Iran. Our sanctions don't impact those items. And so to claim that somehow American sanctions are denying medical products for the people of Iran is foolish, and it's simply an effort to deflect from the catastrophe that the Ayatollah has visited upon his own people.
So we'll see what the Secretary of State does. He had joined us this morning. He has a lot to talk about. And as impeachment fades away, which I think will happen this week, the president, if he shows some discipline and a couple of things happen his way, he might be on the fast course to reelection. When we come back, a big Trump supporter will be joining us, who happens to be one of the finest fighters in America, Tito Ortiz, UFC Hall of Fame member, former UFC light heavyweight champion. He'll be squaring off in the ring again, find out about the details, and find out about what his affinity is to the President Trump. He'll be live in studio, so if you don't have Fox Nation, go get it. You'll see it streamed. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show, back in a moment.
Giving you everything you need to know, it's Brian Kilmeade.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-540-3219. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-540-3219. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-540-3219. Again, 800-540-3219.
My name is Preston James. I've been a stock and options trader for 23 years. I used to be an active swing trader, but that all changed once I discovered my MoneyPress weekly paycheck method. These days, I'm a passive trader, hauling in more cash while being able to sleep at night than I ever dreamed possible. I'm passionate about the market, and I like to keep it simple. My methods are changing thousands of lives, and I'm confident it can change yours. But let the proof do the talking by going to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com. You'll see a 7-minute video revealing how my MoneyPress method grew a $54,000 account to $174,000 in less than 9 months. That works out to 5.8% per week. You'll see the proof right inside my real brokerage account. This isn't about overnight riches, but once you discover this for yourself, you can start on this same path overnight. You're 7 minutes away from changing everything you thought you knew about trading and investing. Go to paycheckproof.com. That's paycheckproof.com.
Living the Bream is a podcast hosted by Fox News Channel's Shannon Bream, sharing inspirational stories, personal anecdotes, and an insider's perspective on actions and rulings from the High Court. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. America's listening to Fox News.
America is a special place. Every 4 years, we do something most people across the globe only dream of. Democracy 2020. It's in your hands. Fox News. America is watching.
It's the holiday season, and it's the perfect time to give that Fox News fan in your life the greatest gift of all, exclusive Fox News gear. Go to shop.foxnews.com and use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. Fox News hats, t-shirts, mugs, jackets, travel mugs, and so much more. That's shop.foxnews.com, and be sure to use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. Happy holidays from Fox News Channel. Download Fox News Channel's The 5 podcast for free. Five of your favorite Fox News personalities discuss current issues in a roundtable discussion. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. America's listening to Fox News.
America is a special place. Every 4 years, we do something most people across the globe only dream of. Democracy 2020. It's in your hands. Fox News. America is watching.
It's the holiday season, and it's the perfect time to give that Fox News fan in your life the greatest gift of all, exclusive Fox News gear. Go to shop.foxnews.com and use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. Fox News hats, t-shirts, mugs, jackets, travel mugs, and so much more. That's shop.foxnews.com. And be sure to use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. Happy holidays from Fox News Channel.
In radio, you're with Brian Kilmeade.
I've spoken to Alberto. He says he's going to win this fight. He says that this means more than anything. This is personal to him. He's mentioned how much he's had these conversations with his family. So how do you respond to that?
I don't mean to throw a monkey wrench in his whole game. It didn't happen. No way. They're going to have to drag me out on a stretcher before that happens. I'm a genuine, nice, polite man outside of the cage. The cage is locked. He's trying to take my legacy. He's trying to take my name. He's trying to take my family. He's trying to take food off the table of my family. Let him talk all he wants. It's fine. Let him promise everything he wants. Not going to happen.
And there we go. That was Tito Ortiz talking about the fight and what brought him into studio today. He's going to be squaring with Alberto L. Patron. He is the multiple WWE heavyweight champion, former Pan-American wrestler, Greco-Roman wrestling medalist. We know the wrestlers do extremely well in the UFC. They make the transition pretty quickly. It'll be a live national pay-per-view television broadcast from the Payne Arena in Hidalgo, Texas. This is coming up Saturday, so December 7th. So with me in studio is Tito Ortiz, the Hall of Fame UFC fighter. Tito, great to see you.
Awesome to see you.
Look at you all dressed up with the with the vest and everything like that.
Come on, you got to dress for success, right?
I love it. Yes. And you know, we're streaming right now on Fox Nation.
Awesome.
So what is it about this guy that he thinks he can beat you? And how does politics figure into this?
Politics figure into this. He's a man who doesn't really respect our laws of our country. You know, he says he wants open borders, but he doesn't understand where this tax money is going for. And for illegal immigrants, and I don't get his factoring behind his ideas. Yeah, ideologically of just saying the things he does just doesn't make sense. I don't get it. You know, I'm Mexican American. Excuse me, I'll rephrase that. I'm American Mexican. I was born in Huntington Beach, California, and my father is of Mexican descent. You know, I'm a fifth generation from California. My family on my father's side is Californians before the United States took over California. And so that's my Mexican side. My mother's actually from Hawaii. She's Portuguese and Irish. So that's my mother's side. So I'm a mix. I'm a mixed mutt. I have French, Irish, Mexican, and American in me.
And you're a Trump guy.
I'm a Trump guy, 100%.
What sold you on President Trump?
You know, we finally got someone that is going to fight for the people, you know, fight for we the people. I think it's super important. And to protect our country, protect the border, and, you know, it is just one of those things that we're not trying to guide other people from kind of coming across here in the United States. I think we're just keeping the criminals away from being here in the United States. And that is very, very important. And Trump is willing to step up and give up the billions that he has to step up and be not just a politic, but be a American and fight for our country.
What I always appreciate about fighters, I've always been a huge boxing guy, and then I was the first one to actually stand outside the octagon. I was an octagon reporter in the first four UFCs.
Yes,
I did play-by-play on one of them. But that was right before you came in, when Royce Gracie had won the first four titles, and you fought multiple. You would have loved that. Yeah. Multiple times in one night. It's crazy.
I fought twice in one night.
Did you do that?
UFC 13, I was on alternate. I fought my first guy. I stopped him in 22 seconds.
Right.
And then I fought a guy in Metzger in the finals. I was beating him, and then I lost by submission.
Wrestler, right?
Actually, he was a submission wrestler, correct. But I'm a wrestler base. I come from high school wrestling, wrestled in college. But then in college, I trained with Tank Abbott with my striking. Yeah. And then I did jiu-jitsu with John Lober. and John Lewis. So I just kind of learned all the way around of I've been a mixed martial artist.
But what I love about it is it's really like in America that you got to fight your way up, right? There's no free lunch.
No free lunch.
Life isn't fair. Get over it.
Welcome to America.
And throughout our history, we always had immigrants. The newest immigrants worked their way up, whether it was Irish and Italians, and literally fighting to survive.
Yes.
And that's what I loved about you. I love about your story. That's an example of it. I will be successful, and I literally will go and fight my way to be successful.
See, no, there's a story. I mean, and it's 100% true story that I've lived through my life. I lived through a Democratic Party that my mother and father got handouts. You know, they had a drug problem, and we had government cheese, you know, food stamps. I mean, we had help. We had government help. But my mother and father had that automatic handout that it was easy for them to feed their family that way, to feed me that way. And I always understood, it was like, well, how come we don't have a nice house? How come we don't have nice clothes? You know, I had two pairs of pants, a pair of shoes for a year, 2 years sometimes. I'd grow out of it where it was just like I was high watering. And it was embarrassing. You know, I lived in motels. I lived in cars. I lived in garages. I lived in, you know, people's trailers. At a young age, from the age of 6 to 13, I was in a gang at the time. My mother, actually, one of my gang member friends got shot and killed, and I told my mom about it, and we drove by there, and he was getting carried away in a body bag, and she told my father, either you get sober, I'm taking her son. My mother got remarried, and we moved back to Huntington Beach, because I lived in Santa Ana, California at the time. We moved back to Huntington Beach, and I got a second chance at life. I found into wrestling, and wrestling showed me with hard work, discipline, dedication, and once again, this key word of hard work, of getting what I wanted, and I want to be, you know, a high school wrestling champion. You know, I became the CAF champion, league champion. I placed fifth in the state, and I started wrestling my freshman year. I ended up graduating high school, and it was just through the hard work I got through that. You know, I had to do good in my classes just to actually be able to wrestle. And when I graduated high school, I started doing the bad things again. I started hanging around with the wrong people, you know, the criminals, you know, the hanging around drugs, doing the wrong things. And I worked at a moving service. And for working at the moving service, I had to do late hours where it was, you know, 16, 18-hour shifts. And I dabbled into drugs a little bit, and I kind of lost myself. There was a coach that seen me at a nightclub one night, and he was like, Tito, what are you doing with yourself these days? I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to make ends meet. I live on my own. Has you ever thought about coming back and wrestling? I go, yeah, I would love to, but no, I'm on my own, and I can't pay for school. I can't pay for books. He's like, well, you're Mexican, right? I go, yes. He goes, you ever thought about getting financial aid? I think we can get it for you. And I go, yeah, but I'm working. He's all, well, you come in. I think we had changed it for you. On Monday morning, I call my work, and I said, I can't come in. They said, if you don't come in, you're fired, I guess. Well, I guess I quit. You know, I want to see about the school thing. I walk into the coach's office, and he had a big smile on his face. He's all, I can't believe you're here. And I go, you know, last night I brushed my teeth and I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself. And you're right, I do have a problem. And I was same height I am right now, 6'3", and I was 180 pounds.
Sweet, yeah.
I'm 230 right now.
Solid muscle.
Solid muscle. I was sucked up and just had a drug problem. And instead of saying, woe is me, I said, you know what, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make something of myself. I got my AA degree, and that was my first time I fought in the UFC, UFC 13. I fought that as an amateur because I didn't want to lose my scholarship. And
what college?
I went to Golden West Junior College, and I went to Cal State Bakersfield in California. And history is told, a year and a half later, I became the world champion. And through hard work and dedication, you know, I've really been able to be successful, and not only just as a fighter, but in business in general. You know, I have three other businesses. I do a consulting firm, Monetos, that we do for bodybuilding and fitness. And then I own a clothing company, Punishment Athletics. I own a management company, Primetime 360. And it's just, I always wanted to work hard at business to get what I get.
Cause when you went through what you, does that make you not afraid to fail? Because you know, you have a survival instinct.
I do have a survival instinct. And this is the great thing too. And as we learn and as we get older, I still got a kid mentality. But I always want to fail because I learn from my failures. And if I didn't have the failures that I have, I wouldn't be the person I am today because I've learned through those things. If I was always the person saying, oh, here's my test, or I got an A in it, cool, that's easy, then I would have never learned from that. When I fought Frank Shamrock and lost him after 4.5 rounds, I was beating his butt. I lost to him at the end of the round because I didn't do the homework. I didn't do my work. I didn't work as hard as I possibly should have. And I lost to him. So I went, instead of They say when you can't beat someone, you join them. I went up and go train with him. I learned what he did by doing the cardio and learning the hard work and learning these extra things of being dedicated. And I think that helped me out because I ended up fighting for a vacant world title against Wanderlei Silva, became the world champion.
Right. And if you can see your 30-30 on ESPN. You know, yes. I know you don't love it, but yeah. But it also makes you more nationally known.
Right, correct.
I mean, because you have the Fox deal and now you have the ESPN deal. Listen, Tito Ortiz, you're going to watch him on the 7th. That's this Saturday.
Yes, this Saturday.
On pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view. Americas is the company that is doing the promotion for
okay.
it. And like I say, it's at the Hidalgo, actually at the Payne Arena in Hidalgo, Texas, and I'll be on pay-per-view. So call your local pay-per-view provider, and this is going to be a great fight. I'm excited.
But you're not going to lose.
I am not going to lose. No, I refuse to lose. I've been in camp now for 19 weeks.
Wow.
This is the longest camp of my career.
Right.
And, but I'm ready for war. I'm ready to show with hard work and dedication, and I'm going to shut this Alberto Patron
right.
died down.
I see a fighter, but I also see a businessman.
Yes, sir.
Both. Good
yes.
job.
Awesome.
Tito Ortiz, great to see you again. Yes. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, Protect My Car is announcing a low-cost extended service plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay nothing for auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay nothing for auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-807-8216 now. Drivers who are covered by Protect My Car will not have to pay for a covered repair bill again. This auto coverage is at an all-time low, much lower than what dealerships are charging. Additionally, drivers who activate this auto coverage today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and free car rental at no additional cost. Call Protect My Car for your free quick quote today. 800-807-8216. 800-807-8216. What do you have to lose? Again, 800-807-8216.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Alan Lomax, who died in 2002, was an American folklorist and musicologist. Lomax was involved in the archive of folk songs at the Library of Congress and a pioneering oral historian who recorded the early story of American folk artists.
Since I was 17, that was pretty close to 18 straight years. I'd been in every back alley and every little town, and it got so I wasn't feeling fresh about America. It was coming out of my ears, and I wasn't enjoying it anymore. So it seemed to me that the big problem that time was to make the world feel like a world of various people speaking various languages, all about the same big human problem.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.